Blog Talk Radio.
October 27th, 2012. The CEO and founder, Mother Jasmine Couture, brings to you a new collection. A collection of horror. A collection of mystery and suspense. Come bear witness in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as Mother Jasmine Couture brings to you the scariest night in ballroom history, Gagoween. Grand prize, open to all legendary performance for $6,000. The mystery 666. That's 16 captains, 6 teams, and a mystery femme queen. Per team, Gagoween. Other cash categories include Punch Queen Runway, The Walking Dead. Open to all foot and eye, Designers from Beyond the Grave. Team Realness, Children of the Corn. Punch Queen Sex Siren, The Candy Man.
They're back.
That's right. In a special category that I'm calling The Grudge. Six of today's hottest divas are invited to settle their score at Gagoween. 3 grudge matches, $1,000 each, with the grand prize thickening throughout the event. Mother Temptress, the overall Mother Didi Chanel, says she wants a rematch at a big ball. Mother Kelly, the icon Mother Shay Shay Chanel, says it was only a Wednesday night mini ball. Get over it and bring it to Gagoween. And legendary Mother Sasha Barsan and the icon Mother Sanaya Ebony, which one of you are the true ladies of Sex Siren? That's right, 3 grudge matches. 3 divas will win $1,000 each. But how much more will be raised at Gagoween? Find out October 27th in Washington, D.C. For more information, contact Jasmine Couture directly or subscribe to Jasmine Couture's Facebook page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $10,000 in grand prizes, history will be made once again. Gagoween.
Hello, everybody. I hope this shit don't hang up on me one more time. If you guys are listening, welcome to the State of Emergency Show, Season 2. Can somebody send me a message letting me know that you guys can hear me so I can know that I'm doing the right thing and this thing is working because she's popping up in my face. Okay. First up, I want to apologize. Blog Talk is having some motherfucking issues, and it shouldn't be having all these issues for the amount of money they charge to use their service. But a window keeps popping up stating that they're having some technical issues. So I do apologize in advance for everyone that called in and got disconnected. I thank you guys for calling back and tuning in. For those of you who are aware of how the show works, welcome to the State of Emergency Show. Every Wednesday night, we have a show that is dedicated to the different issues and problems that we are facing within the ballroom scene and within our community. The show airs every Wednesday. It starts at 11 p.m., where you will hear music from 11 to 11:45, because I don't get off of work until 11:30, and by the time I get myself settled in, I give myself about 15 minutes before I go on the air. So I do pretty much let Mike Q play his beat between 11 and 11:45. For those of you who are not aware of that and are complaining that all I hear is nothing but music, where's the show, and all the rest of that shit. Girls, get it together. That's pretty much how it works, because this turns into a four-hour show. Okay, we're on the air from pretty much 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. on Wednesday night. So no one's going to really sit here for 4 hours. I'm giving you guys the opportunity to listen to music. Again, thank you, Mike Q, as always. You guys will hear beats, and then we go into the show. For all the impatient people and the ones that are complaining, ballroom A-list people, no shade. I'm just, you know, I'm playing with y'all. But that's how it works around here, okay? This is Tons of Chops. You guys got Monday night at 9 p.m. This is what we do at 11. So, love you, Milan, and thank you for listening. Anyway, I have a panel of people that will be sitting with us each and every Wednesday, and we will pretty much be talking about different issues that we are facing within our ballroom scene. Tonight is the season premiere show, and again, I hope we do not get disconnected. If we do, I apologize in advance, but I keep getting this window popping up, and I'm just avoiding it. From Blog Talk Radio, so it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with their service. But anyway, in the meantime, each and every Wednesday, we will have a panel of audience, different people from the ballroom scene that will sit with us and talk with us about, you know, our topic for the evening. If you guys ever want to sit with us, send me a message in advance, text me, call me, or hit me up on Facebook. And, you know, you are all more than welcome to sit with us as well and talk about some of the topics. Tonight is the season premiere episode, so we just will be recapping pretty much a lot of the different things that did take place over the summer, see how everyone's summer was in general, and just kind of talk about some of the highlights of the different balls, as well as some of the same bullshit that is happening within our ballroom scene at all these balls. There were tons of balls this summer, back to back, every weekend. We've seen so much stuff that took place this summer. We've seen icons being sacked by statements. We've seen a lot of attacks by guns shot in the air, knives, as well as mace being sprayed all over the place. We've seen the lights go out and bitches getting slapped. We've seen so many issues within our, you know, within our community, within the ballroom scene. And is it really ever going to end? So tonight I will be sitting with our panelists, and I will be asking them, what was the worst ball that you went to? What was the worst panel that you faced or you seen? Who was the worst promoter of the summer? And a lot of the different issues that are going on, again, within our community. We have a lot to look forward to this fall. It looks like a lot of things are not changing. We were dealing with balls every week over the summer. And now we're dealing with two balls on top of each other to the same day this fall. One ball will fall, one ball will rise. It's going to be a lot of shit going on. So that's what we're pretty much going to be talking about. One by one, I will be bringing in our panelists. Some of you guys may know who they are. Some of you may not, but you will get to know them throughout our show. So again, once again, thank you guys for listening. Much love to everyone that is a part of the show tonight, all the listeners, everyone in the chat room, and I really want to say thank you again for tuning in to Season 2 of the State of Emergency Show. I'm going to start bringing on everybody. I got a whole bunch of messages on Facebook. Thank you, Tanya, for letting me know you can hear me. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, everyone. Shanae and Regina, I live for you, girls. I just want to give you girls a shout-out. And Mona, of course. Okay, the first person we're going to bring on is, we just kind of pretty much go down the list. This show is not about a whole bunch of reading, attacking, people talking over each other. I bring in everyone individually on, and then when the questions come up, they individually answer. No one's really going to talk over each other or any of that mumbo-jumbo. So let's all respect each other, as well as the callers. Please feel free to call in. You're not going to get attacked. This is where you can speak. This is where you can express yourself and really, you know, make, be a part of this. You know, it really all starts with you, in all honesty, because the change has to start in somewhere, and it has to start with you. So the first person I'm going to bring on is one of our residential Tuesday night hosts, all the way from, well, not even say, but Jason, you're on the air.
Ooh, what was that?
Hi.
Hey, Jazzy, how was your day?
It was good. It was good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm relaxed. I'm a little, I guess, that plane is catching up to me, so I'm a little tired today.
Well, did you get any rest at all?
No, not really, because I started unpacking, and once I started that, then I started washing the stuff that was dirty, so no. But I'm going to rest. I'm going to try and rest tomorrow, not answer the phone, not do anything.
Okay. All right. Well, let me bring everyone else on. The next person we have is the legendary Jahira Balenciaga. How are you, Jahira?
Hey, Jazz. What's going on?
How are you doing over there?
I am excellent. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Sorry for all the mishaps, but I thank you for sticking in with us.
No problem. No problem. Happy to be here, of course.
Okay. The next person I'm bringing on is, I don't even know what your new title is, if you have a new title, but I do know you get on my nerves and know you're not getting an intro. TJ Mizrahi, you're on the air.
Really, that's how you feel, Jazzy?
So drunk.
Ain't nobody got time for that. What's going on,
exactly.
Y'all? Hey, Jason. Hi, Mommy.
Hey, TJ.
Hi, baby.
What you doing? Oh, they were in my room. What's going on?
Nothing much, TJ. Nothing much.
How was your day, Jazzy?
It was pretty good until I started this show. My God, I was just getting attacked from all over.
Did you miss me over the summer vacation?
Did I miss you? No, I actually didn't, because I pretty much talked to you.
You missed me. You know you did. Admit it. You know you missed me. Look at me, for heaven's sake.
The next person I'm bringing on is also one of our Tuesday night hosts as well. The beautiful one herself, Naima Ebony. You're on the air.
Hey, it's here.
Hey. What's going on, everyone?
High $5 foot long.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Hey,
Jason.
Hey, Naima.
How are you?
Subway.
Okay. We have... It's going to be a lot, right?
Yeah, it's time to start shit tonight.
Yes, God.
We have the next person. We have Amaya Revlon, Urbana Revlon, all the way from... Well, I keep forgetting where you're from right now, because I know you recently moved. But hi, Urbana.
Hi, how are you? I'm good. I'm from Detroit, but I live in Ohio now.
So
is the
last
boom ready down
there
in
Detroit, but this season you're in Ohio.
Yeah.
No, that's me. That switched from Detroit, and this season I'm in Ohio.
You can't take me.
Well, how
are
you,
Jasmine?
She lives in Ohio already.
How are you, Jasmine?
I'm doing good. How are you? Oh, God. Here we look at this message popping up. Block Talk is really playing games. she's like just taking my whole screen apart. Okay, somebody, we lost Jahira already, and now whose number is this? I'm so sorry because this switchboard is acting completely insane. 347-426, you're on the air.
Oh my God, hey Jazzy. Hey y'all, it's Keisha. What's the deal?
What's going on, Keish? School's
hey,
back
how
in
are you
session.
Precious?
I wanted to be one of the co-hosts. That's why I called in.
Well, girl, how can you be a co-host with that loud-ass background?
I'm taking a shower. I just got it from work. I'm sorry.
Damn.
Oh, oh, no.
Shower.
Not
even
that. Not for that.
Jason, you pulled the admin, and we got disconnected.
Key,
we're
going to
put you back on mute, honey, until you put yourself together.
Okay, do that.
All right, Keish, I'm going to put you on mute. Press 1 for me, and then come back on when you are ready to be a part of the show. And Jahira, you are back on.
Okay.
Hi, the baby.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it looks like we pretty much have everyone. Oh, we have one more person. I'm just going to give you a little taste of their intro.
I'm home every time you come around my life.
Yes, mother is here.
That's
yes,
it.
And I thank you.
Ooh.
What?
Oh? Wait, no. Wait, did Maya just say, and I thank you?
Yes.
That's TJ, and we're not going to be doing that because I'll disconnect you, TJ.
Hello, all. You know, I just wanted to grace, you know, the first show of the new season.
Well, thank you, London. I really appreciate it.
London, I missed you.
Oh, is that TJ?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Chef TJ Mizrahi.
How are you?
I'm lovely. How have you been?
I've been good. Just getting things in order, getting my stuff back on track.
Okay.
What? Okay, well, Tuesday. London, do you want to sit with us? Or you want to go back and hold?
No, I can sit, but I'm not going to be, you know, the jokester.
Yeah, I know, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. Really quickly, I'm going to go to one more caller, and then we're going to get into our topic because we already wasted about 30 minutes dealing with technical issues. 404-635, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, it's the topic tonight. Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in a second. Hold your horses, ladies. But I put you on hold, and then you can press 1 when you want to come back on, and we're back on the topic.
And can I just throw this sales pitch out there? I'm selling voice moans, so
ooh,
if you need a soft voice, so just hit me up. Yeah.
No, the girls are still dehydrated. They're still can't even get it out. Dehydrated. Is that the word? Dehydrated. From Atlanta. That's why they sound like that.
If you feel dehydrated from Atlanta, you have a medical issue outside of that dehydration.
Your shoes are right here.
All right. Listen, a couple of things with the show. I want to thank everyone again for tuning into the new season. This Monday, we will be going into our first episode of the new season. Yeah, this past Monday was our recap of what took place Labor Day weekend, but this Monday we will have new hosts as well as new music and new format pretty much. So tune in this Monday where you will be witnessing a big change within Blog Talk. Blog Talk tends to shop. So we will have new hosts on Monday and new co-hosts on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. The Tea Party cast will be on the air. That is a variety of different people. If you are a part of London's Tea Party room, or if you aren't a part of it, start sending your messages over now or as soon as you can to be a part of the Tea Party Tea Party room. Tuesday nights are really fun. A lot of gossip, a lot of reading, and it's all a part of, you know, all from the Tea Party cast. And on Wednesday nights at 11 p.m., we do have the State of Emergency show hosted by myself with guest panelists talking about different issues within the ballroom scene. Tonight's topic, we are pretty much at... Someone keep pressing 1. Okay, let me go back to you. Here we go. 404-635, you're on the air.
Yeah, I had a comment before y'all put me on mute and left me. I took me off the line.
Okay, well, you know what? Okay. I don't want to hear your comment on the air. Just send me an inbox of your comment because we're not taking comments right now. We're not going through that, and we're not trying to make this that type of show. So come on now, stop. Okay, do me that favor. Tonight's topic, we are going to be talking about ballroom recaps from pretty much stuff that took place over the summer. I'm going to be asking people that are part of the panelists, Jason, TJ, Naima, Vanna, we keep losing Jahira, I know she's having technical issues. And people that are listening to the show, please call in and give us your topic. I mean, you know, your answer on some of the questions that we're going to ask. One of the main questions that I want to bring up is pretty much how was everyone's summer as far as balls went? You know, how was your ballroom-related summer? You know, did you go to a lot of balls this summer? We know that, you know, a lot of the mini balls was hitting us, taking us by storm over the summer. A lot of the mini balls were, you know, way more packed than some of the major balls. A lot of the mini balls have highlights and hot categories, you know, more than the major balls and things of that sort. So I want to get everyone's opinion based on, you know, their ball experience over the summer. And, you know, what were some of the good balls that you went to? And what were some of the, you know, ones that you completely wasted your time on? And again, don't be afraid to speak. Because that's what this show is about, you know. It's not a personal attack on any promoter, as well as any event or any club or anything like that. It's just people giving their opinion on pretty much what took place this summer. We all heard stories. We all had recaps of different major events that took place. So, you know, what is your opinion on pretty much some of the stuff that did take place? I'm going to start with you, Jason.
Well, since I am only on here and I just do the recap of what they talk about on Mondays, I guess some of the problems that I've had or issues that I have are the balls that stopped unnecessarily for violence that didn't even have really much to do with the ballroom, that could have just been settled outside with the two people acting like civilized adults. Or I have a problem with the balls that just didn't even start at all, and they say they would start at another time or another week, and they just never happened at all, and people just paid it.
Okay. So some of the things that you ran into over the summer, especially, you know, being a host on the shows, you pretty much was hearing about a lot of those things that you were hearing, you know, that you just spoke about.
Right. I mean, like the violence, I mean, for instance, I'm going to talk about Marcus being slapped. stop it. I mean, we've never really got to the bottom of that. Shortly after that, Marcus and I had our own little Facebook fight, which was kind of funny. And I just never understood how people can feel disrespected, or you say you were disrespected, but you can't give an example of what the disrespect was, or I don't like your shoes, and which is one of the problems that I have with the ballroom is that, okay, I don't have to like you, but because I don't like you, I can put my feelings aside of not liking you and still do my job. I do that every day at work. I don't like some of my coworkers, but because I know that I have to get paid, I do what I need to do, and when I come home, I can't stand that bitch. But I'm home. So some of the stuff that has happened to him at balls, and some of the stuff that's happened to him at parties related to balls, I just don't understand that, and I just feel for that young man.
Okay, so pretty much one of the major things that you've seen or that you heard about was pretty much, I mean, keeping it real. All the attacks that was done to Marcus.
Right.
Okay. CJ, let's go to you. What was, you know, some of your experiences over the summer, good and bad, as far as balls go?
Well, as far as the balls go, throughout the summer I really didn't hit too many balls. I was more so doing other stuff. I would say the violence was something that I noticed that was going on a lot. Like, again, you have the market situation. Then, of course, a few weeks ago, we just had the Angel, Revlon, and Sanaya situation. All these big factors going on, which another violence thing that came up. Another thing that I noticed, a lot of people was doing the, you didn't, doing the less band, not go to this ball during the summer, I noticed.
A lot of boycotting?
Yeah. And then, of course, this ban list stuff kept coming back up of who's on the ban list, who's not.
But, of course, that didn't play into no one's effect. It didn't happen at all. Okay. I want to get everyone's opinion, callers. I want to get your opinion on what you guys feel. I mean, you know, it's been happening for the past couple of months. I mean, hell, I think it's been happening all year. The hot topic was bandwidth. Do you guys, you know, especially after seeing all the stuff that we've seen over the summer, do you guys believe that maybe a bandwidth should go into effect or not? And I want the callers to be able to call in and say that, not the panelists, because we've talked about it many times before, but I want the callers to, you know, express their opinion on this bandwidth, especially with all the stuff that we did see this summer. Naima, what were some of the experiences that you witnessed over the summer?
Well, I really didn't go to really too many balls this summer. I went to the New York Awards Ball, and which was like crowded out in that horrible place that don't even use the girls. And you know, and it was funny because last night they were talking about the chicken at the Mizrahi Ball and getting it from churches, and they not using the gays. But then, Turner, you know, I had to think about something tonight, that the people at the lab don't use the girls either, and they be trying to work, you know, the gays for their coins and stuff like that, and people, but I'll get into that later. But that was about the only ball I really went to other than the Vogue night. You know, that was about it. I really didn't really go anywhere really too heavy this summer.
Okay. Vonna?
My summer party was, I did a lot this summer. But the highlight of my summer when it comes to balls, which is really weird of what I'm about to say, was the Kiki Ball. And I went to Kiki Ball. That really mad shout out to the GMAT guys in New York. That ball was an amazing, amazing experience. Me and Jahira and TJ.
Yeah,
they were. Yeah, the ball was an amazing experience. It was ballroom at like its best, I believe. Even when it goes to the conversation we were having about fights, even at the end of that ball, they had a little scuffle, a little fight or whatever, but the money was still given out. Outside of the venue, it was still laughing and talking, and it was dispersed really, really fast. The children had a better time than we have, you know, and so it was, to me, again, kudos to the GMAD people. It was an amazing experience in New York. The Tron ball was long. It was crazy, but it was still fun. The worst ball I went to all summer was here in my own region, God, for me to say, which was the Midwest Prestige Function. It was absolutely dreadful and horrible. That was like, I could have had like a V8 and like knitted a sweater and had a like amazing time versus being at that function. As far as the functions, because I've been to a lot of things from Vogue nights to balls to everything all the summer. It was, I heard of a lot of violence, but I didn't see a lot in the places that I was. Like the con ball went out without a hitch, you know, the G-Man ball, you know, the little scuffle. You know, so it was, I went to like maybe 7 or 8 balls this summer, and I didn't really see much at the functions. But it was just a really, this summer showed me that the Kiki scene is where, you know, a lot of girls are starting to open up their eyes to see different things in a different light. So that was really my thing. As far as piggybacking off of Jason and his Marcus experience. And I've got a chance to meet Marcus. I've hung out with Marcus here in my own city. But I am a firm believer in not feeling sorry for people who sometimes entice things themselves. And so sometimes Marcus can come off rash. And people say that, you know, you shouldn't put your hands on people for what they say. But, you know, sometimes you can say too much, and it makes you want to put your hands on people. But other than that, the summer was actually really, really good. I had an amazing summer.
Okay. We have a caller, 323-286. You're on the air. 323-286. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's that mute me, Jason?
Who is that?
Good evening, everyone. Hi.
Hi.
This is the Bishop.
I didn't even open my, you know what, ain't nobody got time for that.
But good evening to everyone. I am Jason. Jasmine, hello. TJ,
hello.
Hello.
Yeah. I love them.
Peace and blessings.
Hi.
But I just want to comment based upon the ban list topic or whatever being discussed. My feelings on the ban list, it's a good thing to implement, but when you look at it at the end of the day, I would say about 95% of the balls that are being thrown by individuals who really don't want to enforce a ban list because of the simple fact that a lot of them are making that, exactly, it's all a financial structure. You know, they could have the saying, you know, you hear a lot around the balling community, oh, here goes another rent ball. Meaning someone's throwing a ball, whether it's a mini ball, mini deluxe, or a major ball, you know, to get a bill paid or to make a move, get a new car, whatever, you know. And so when you're dealing with situations like that and people are looking at it from a financial standpoint, you're going to get a majority that's going to overrule not to have the ban list in play. The ban list is a good thing, but then you got to look at it too. Is a lot of the violence that goes forth is a lot of it. First of all, is personal. It shouldn't be brought to a ballroom or shouldn't be brought to a house. And then a lot of it is, you know, when you have leaders who are in leadership standpoint who are also being involved in some of the violence that's going on in the ballroom scene, or you have their heavy hitters who are the ones that are bringing in their trophies to their house, keeping their house name alive, that are being involved in this ballroom violence, of course they're not going to stand for the ban list because now that's knocking them out the box. You know, it's not making way for anyone, you know, it's knocking them out the box. You know, they're just going to sit there and pretty much say, hey, our whole house is not going to support the ball. We're going to go on a blackout from this ball. No one goes to the ball. And now the person, the promoter, is losing money behind this ball because now this is about 100 people times $20, that's $2,000 that you're going to lose. So, you know, it's more of a money situation. And if we stop looking at it from a financial standpoint and turn it into what it really was designed to be for fun and for enjoyment, and keep all this personal BS out of each other's houses, then, you know, it'll go somewhere. You won't even need a ban. Because if I have a problem, just hypothetically speaking, though, if I have a problem with Jason, I'm not going to go take it to the house of Ebony and be like, I have a problem with Jason, and da-da-da-da-da-da. They ain't got nothing to do with this. Because I could be telling them this, that, and the third to where somebody see him and come and attack this man, and he's like, okay, what's my issue with you? And then if Jason's a part of the house, then it just blows into a house thing, and then it just gets bigger than what it is. So people just need to learn to conduct their houses and keep their kids with these personal issues out of the ballroom thing, point blank, period.
Okay, Bishop, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Now, maybe I'm confused, or maybe I'm slow, or not connected. But to me, having a ball, being a promoter, is a business. I'm not throwing parties, and I'm not spending all of my money, all of my time, all of my sweat and tears to not bring a profit from a function. I'm not giving you $5,000 to $6,000 to $10,000 to say, hey, this is just for fun. That's just not that's not even reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for to say that we should take it out of a financial aspect when we're throwing a ball would totally negate. If we throw a ball, doesn't mean we need the money for the rent, but I'm also doing it for because it's a money that's going to come back to me. I'm giving you all of my money, all of my time. I am expecting a return. That's a business. That's like going to a clothing store. Their goal is to give you a shirt, but their goal is still to make the money. They want you to have the experience and be all good and customer service, but they still want your money. So this is still a business. And so I don't understand why people don't see it that way or why they don't seem to understand that. I'm not going to ban somebody because they fight at your function. They might not respect you, but they might respect me and not fight at my function. People have been fighting in ballroom. They have been arguing in ballroom. They have been carrying in ballroom for a long time. Why is everybody acting like this just started to happen yesterday?
Yeah. You're right. We have another caller. 704-907, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. It's Marcus.
Hi, Marcus.
Hi. I'm not sure who the young lady was speaking, saying we met this summer.
I met you at Joaquin's Ball. Yeah, this is Amaya. This is Amaya. We met at Joaquin's Ball this summer.
At whose ball? Oh, at Marquis.
In Cleveland. Yeah, in Cleveland, when we sat and kicked it and talked outside at Joaquin's Ball.
Oh, okay, Amaya. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I said I enjoyed you. Yeah, I enjoyed you.
Okay.
Life.
All right. Well, I guess I want to respond. Due to the things that happened this summer, out of respect
right.
for my former house,
right.
you know, I didn't really get a chance to speak on it on their behalf, since I'm no longer there. I will want to let everybody know that since then, Father Tony and I have spoken. And I do believe that there was some type of, well, just call it a spade a spade. There was a misunderstanding. And I think the problem is that a lot of times I'm held responsible for things that I may or may have not done. So if it doesn't come out my mouth or if you don't see it in writing, any other way is he say, she say. I mean, unless
right.
I'm a man, I will repeat what I said, and I will, admit to it. I think he gives me credit for that. And some of these
yeah.
things that I've been accused of, I simply didn't do, just as in when Harold was on the radio a few weeks ago and accused me of still changing votes. And then when I brought up the situation in which he was the tie-breaking vote, it was like, oh, well, we can't really say that. No, yes, I can. I counted the votes along with five other people. So, again, I think that sometimes... we as humans don't really respond. In regard to Jason, I'm not quite sure how many incidents you thought I had this summer, and there were two. And two in 9 years, in my 9 years of ballroom, to me, really isn't bad. One of them, which not being at a ball, and I really, that incident shouldn't even happen.
Right.
But just to kind of let you guys know that a lot of things that people think that, you know, in regards to how I'm fierce or I'm mean or I'm nasty or I'm shady, anything that I say, I really don't really mean for it to come off that way. My opinion is just my opinion, just like everyone else has their opinion. Just because
right.
I might say it a certain way, just because I may not kiki with everybody after the end of the day, doesn't make my opinion any more valid than yours. I could be just as wrong
right.
as you, but because it's my opinion, I'm going to hold on to it. And that's all
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to, you know, to kind of say. You know, I do appreciate everyone checking on it and letting me know the words of encouragement throughout the whole ordeal. You know, I kind of got over it. And it has made me reevaluate the things that I was allowing to go on. Because honestly, at the end of the day, when Econ and Tim and I started the awards ball, it was never our goal to make people feel as though they were being cheated out of awards or that we were giving it. We started it to make sure that it was held with integrity. So I would never want any of the patrons, its supporters, or anyone who's come to the ball or believed in our ball to think that we would rig winners. Because, you know, that's... At this point, I'm the least honored person in ballroom. I've never received an award in ballroom, you know, whether you think I deserve one or not. So why would I cheat someone on an award when I can't, you know, when I wouldn't even, you know, the awards don't mean much to me. So that was all
okay.
I had to say in regards to that.
Marcus.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, Marcus.
Marcus, I have a question for you.
Sure.
because of everything that has happened over the past year and all the drama that has, you know, come your way, if you called for it, you didn't call for it, it was taken in the wrong way, because, you know, you're so opinionated and stuff. Are you changing anything about the things that you do or the way that you react or the way that you comment? Are you kind of, because you have made a lot of statements as far as, you know, when you turn 30, I don't even remember what they are, but, you know, when you get to a certain age, you're not going to be like others and you're going to leave all this alone. You don't have time for this. You know, little things like that. Have you really sat down and collectively thought on, you know, how you're reacting now, how you're supporting, how you're being opinionated towards a lot of the different things that are happening? You know, what has changed about it? Because one thing I've learned in the course of, you know, the years that I've been a part of this is, my God, everyone takes things so personal. They don't know how to take things like a grain of salt. They just take things so personal, you know, to heart. And that's where a lot of the attacks and everything comes from. So did you really learn anything from this, or you're just going to continue to be who you are? You know, what's the outcome of it?
Okay, unfortunately, I am who I am. I think that mm-hmm. what I've decided to do is not be as involved as I might have been. I've definitely stepped back when it came down. A lot of these issues root from the Carolina Awards Ball. So I've personally decided to just not deal with the awards. That doesn't mean I may not have a ball. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm still going to stop going to balls and things like that. But that definitely just stepping away from that aspect in the council. Because as much as people think, alliances do really tend to tear people apart, and the people that lead those alliances are often ridiculed. I mean, we've heard of, you know, instances in Atlanta and North Carolina and, you know, everywhere where the people who run the alliances are just made to be these crooks and just devil people. So I've decided to walk away from that. Secondly, I've decided to maybe comment, if guys have seen me, you know, at balls, I've been more to myself. I've never really been a very friendly person and just kiki with everybody, but I've basically decided to keep to myself because, honestly, I realized that a lot of people who could have came to my aid at that point and know that I don't really, you know, discuss these people and things and, you know, try to come up with schemes to, you know, cheat people and rob people and things like that, they could have spoken, and they didn't, and that was my frustration with my letter coming out. When I look at the situation and in my life, I don't want to be, because I don't have any desire to be a legend or anything like that or to be remembered in ballroom, it really is a hobby. I mean, I enjoy planning events. I could plan weddings. I could plan family reunions. You know, it really wouldn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a ball. It happens to be balls because that's kind of what was needed at the time in our area. Now we have new people and new promoters and a new generation of kids standing up and leading, you know, our state. So I can step back and just watch. Finally, I just think that I guess I have learned a lot. I mean, whether from every experience you have to walk away from it and, you know, learn something. And I think sometimes no commenting, I think the House of Gerson's approach and not commenting at all sometimes is the best policy. But sometimes I do believe you have to just stand up and speak. And, you know, I'm learning to decide when to do it and when not to do it. But when my opinion is asked of something, why not? Because it's just my opinion. And, I mean, if my opinion hurts, you know, I'm not sure why I would look at it like when people comment about me. You don't know me, so it goes in one ear and goes out the other. And if there was some type of truth to it, that's when those things, you know, those things kind of hurt. And those are the things that you listen to and you kind of respond accordingly. And you, you know, you make adjustments from there.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you calling in and sharing that.
I have one question for you, though.
You have a question for me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay, I think that you and I, you know, we've kind of had a rocky relationship, but, you know, we've kind of, as a, you know, respect, you know, you being a great promoter, you know, we've spoken, we've kind of bounced ideas off each other. You know, when it came down to your upcoming event, we did speak about it, and I think somehow you got a hold of some information that I said in the group. And, you know, and honestly, if the message that you got back was what I actually told you over the phone, but it seems as though you were kind of bothered, not that bothered, but you didn't necessarily think that that was the best thing for me to say. May I ask why did my opinion on the matter bother you? Because we've never really spoken about it since then.
Honestly, it didn't bother me. Like, pretty much, I'm the type of person that if, and I don't want you or anyone to take this the wrong way, please, whatever you do, do not take this the wrong way. But my thing is like, if a person has an opinion, and I don't even remember what your opinion, that's how I am. I just pretty much, I'm
it goes in one,
person.
You're kind of like me. It just goes in one ear and goes out the other, right?
It
like,
goes
I'm still going to do what I want to do.
And out the other. I address it when it's right there and it hits me in my face. But my thing is like, child, why am I going to dwell on this or this topic? I move on and I completely forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what it was that you said. Can you please remind me?
Well, I think what I told you was when we talked about the ball, I think I suggested another time frame. You know, I said that, well, maybe, you know, you would think about having it at a different part of the year or possibly, you know, like maybe within, you know, weeks of each other or possibly having it in, because
oh,
of
no,
the time
okay.
you were thinking
remember,
about having it in Atlanta,
not,
right.
That's not what made me get over the whole topic, the whole topic with you. What made me get over the whole topic with you was the, you know, your comments. See, Marcus, and again, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I'm, you know, I'm much older, and I've been through so much in my life that I just am one of those type of people that, that's not Milan, Misty. That's Marcus, not Milan. Okay. I'm one of the type of people that pretty much, when I see a person and a lot of the stuff that comes out of their mouth is negative, like, it's just like, you never hear a lot of positivity. And I don't want to say this to you. We can talk about this off the air. I'm just telling you basically my opinion on it. It's just one of the things I noticed about you is everything that you would say would be so negative, not just about any particular issue or anything. It's just like so negative, you know, it's like, and it's not just you, I've learned this from so many people. People harbor on the negative, but they don't really comment on the positive. We've noticed that, you know, on Facebook, you know, as well, people post positive stuff, even yourself. You post music that's inspiring you. I'm watching you, I see you. You know, I see
but
everybody.
Can I ask you a question,
Jasmine? Let me finish.
Sorry.
And when you post the positive stuff, no one likes it, no one comments, you get a few likes.
Right.
But if you post a picture of a dick, a fight, someone getting cut and someone getting slashed, a million likes, a million topics, a million comments in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing about you is that when it came to Gagaween, I was noticing that everything based on Gagaween was coming negative from you. And when I started seeing that, I gave you like a 3 strikes or out. I'm just gonna leave it alone. I'm not gonna say nothing. The first thing was you didn't like the date. You had an issue, not an issue, but you had suggestions for the date. The bottom line is, you know, I wasn't gonna change the date because it's a Halloween based ball. You know, and nobody else was having a Halloween baseball, so that's why I said I'm going to do it. You know, that was my thing with that. The next thing that you had, you brought up something about you were not going to be able to attend because you're going to do Black Universe in Atlanta. You know, it was like something like that as well.
Which
was
all built around the same thing, right? It was all built around the same thing.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
That, Jasmine,
so, you know,
I do want to say this, though. I will say this, as someone who has, and you have to go back through history, although you may have took it as negative because to you it was discouraging, but I want you to look at it like this. I am someone who's come to every ball, every major ball you've thrown, every collections ball. I've even been to your mini balls in Florida and Orlando. So I would think that somebody like me saying it, although with, to me, I am one of your biggest supporters. So I honestly, because that wasn't my opinion, I wasn't trying to, you know, be negative towards you. It was me saying, honestly, you know, to me, it's just a bad day. I've always supported you. You always give out your money. I wanted to be there to support you. Now, I don't believe you should change your ball for one person, but I do believe, you know, and when I gave you my rationale behind it, I gave you, it's Black Universe in Atlanta, you know, oh, it would be nice to have the ball in Atlanta, and you explained to why you didn't want to do it there, and I understood, and it kind of moved on. But I don't want you to think I was harboring on it or trying to push my way, you know, to what it was. So I really do apologize that you took it as me being negative. It was just more of, as an avid supporter of you, it'd be different if it was somebody who never goes to your balls. But I've been to them all, from the first one to now. You know, this will be basically one of the first ones I've ever missed. You know, including your mini ball series in Orlando and all of those. So, you know, I think I would have thought that it would have meant more coming from me saying it like that. Not me being fierce, but me just saying, well, maybe you should consider another date versus just a Joe Blow. And I still may be a Joe Blow saying, well, you know what, you know, that's perfect. Because, you know, I would never want somebody just to feed me the things I want to hear. And I don't want you to think I was really saying it out of concern. Your ball would still be great, highly attended, you know, really nice, and I'm pretty sure in every category, you know, the money will be given out, all of those things. I was just saying it from that concern, and I don't want you to take that as me being negative. It was just me saying, you know, my personal opinion towards it.
I got you. Well, I mean, it wasn't like it was an issue, like I was mad and I was attacking you. I didn't
call you up and read you
or nothing like that.
We just didn't speak on it after that, and we haven't spoken. We've always had a, what's the word, like at least in a working relationship where we could speak, and I felt like there was some tension because, honestly, I really thought it would have pissed you off, I just would have not said anything and then, unfortunately, not been able to attend. I was telling you out of, because some people may be in the situation that I'm in. They're torn between going between the two. And if there's a way for me to still do both, I would still do both because, it's kind of like Marco's Rags to Riches ball. I've never missed, you know, any since I've been going to balls, I've never missed one. So if there's a way for me to make it, I'm going to try to make it. I've never missed one of your major events. So it'd be nice that I really want to be there to see it. You know, it does seem exciting. Now seeing the whole lineup, it does seem more exciting than how it was originally presented, and I do want to be there. But this is the situation. I don't want you to think I was trying. My intentions were not to be negative. I do think sometimes I have a very cutthroat business approach to it and just saying what I have to say, and people take it as, you know, I don't kind of, what's the word, kind of like sugarcoat it, and, you know, but that's really, I thought maybe you would look at it like, or maybe realize, well, damn, Marcus has been to just about every ball I've had, you know, maybe it's something to even possibly consider. But, you know, as a promoter myself, sometimes you are locked into what you've done and you believe in it so much, you know, the cookie falls the way it falls. But that's all I wanted to ask you. I do appreciate it.
Well, I'm sorry if you took it, you know, a certain way and I didn't mean
to. No,
I
didn't. And I just, you know, we have never spoken about it, so I wanted to discuss it. I'll keep listening.
Okay. Well, thank you, Marcus. And we're going to move on. The next caller is 646-266. You're on the air.
Hello, Jasmine. Hey, Jaira. Jason, Naima, and everyone else who's listening.
Okay.
Don't worry, when I blow your inbox up, you'll remember who I am.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Alexis?
Yes, it is.
You're talking about other people's phone. It's your phone.
No, maybe it's a system.
Yeah, it might be the system. Hi, Alexis. Oh, my God, you're here. I feel so privileged and honored.
Oh, don't start that. This is my thing when it comes to people voicing their opinion. I believe everybody has things to say. But when certain people say things, it comes off as they're always being negative. And I think that it's not fair because me and Naeem might have the same opinion, but because I said it is a big issue. You understand? Versus Naeem saying it. Or like you said, it's like a lot of people feel like I'm a negative person. I really don't give a damn, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm going to say what I want to say, whether you like it. You either take it with a grain of salt or you keep on moving. And I don't feel like people should, if you can't take criticism or you can't take what people have to say, then you're in the wrong. This is all the shit. You put yourself out there to be criticized. If you don't want to be criticized, don't walk balls. If you don't want to be ridiculed, don't walk balls. If you don't want to be put under the microscope, don't walk balls. And, you know, people feel like a lot of times that, oh, you're picky on my house. Bitch, no, I'm not. I said it, whatever. If I see something wrong with your house, I'm going to say it. If I see something wrong with their house, I'm going to say it. You know,
I agree.
I think people need to learn that in a spectator sport, that's what you're there. You're being spectated. So people are going to have an opinion. And it doesn't give you a reason to put your hand on people. Now, Vonna, I will say this. This is supposed to be extracurricular.
Yeah, exactly.
When it first was supposed to be extracurricular. So, you know, it's like we're supposed to be having fun. You know, so at the end of the day, I mean, when I came out, and it wasn't that long ago, 2005, 2004, it was all about winning. Winning. It was just to have fun.
Fun.
It was just to be out there and socialize and fraternize with your friends, your family, your comrades, your associates.
I agree.
But now ballroom isn't what it used to be. And I know somebody is saying right now, here this bitch go with her ballroom ain't what it used to be. Bitch, you ain't been out long enough. But I have been to enough.
Yeah,
in the little bit of time that I have been around. And if anybody knows me, they know that I have traveled a lot.
Yeah.
And to know that I wish ballroom could get back to the competition versus, oh, bitch, how much money they're giving out? Oh, well, I'm not walking. You understand what I'm saying?
I have a problem with that, too.
You had the face girls pulling out gowns, feathers, beads, and I understand that she has got a heart because ass not working like they used to, craft not moving like it used to. A lot of them hoes don't work. Let's be for real. So you do depend on the coin from the ball.
Yeah.
But if your life is in order and your priorities are right, then you don't depend on that and you're just doing it for what? The fun, whatever you intended from the beginning.
For fun. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alexis, what are some of the things that you witnessed over the summer that kind of like threw you for a loop?
Let me say this. Between school and other shit, a lot of shit is a blur now. Recently. Let me say this. I find it funny how I'm trying to, how can I word this without making things hot?
Come on,
Sarah. Hold on, wait a minute. Don't sugarcoat shit now, Alexis. Speak out.
because I promised that I wasn't going to be as
vocal.
Right. Because I don't walk balls like I used to. I really don't give a fuck if a bitch. One thing about me, I get my tears every day in the streets of New York, in the streets of Brooklyn. So I fuck a ball.
Okay.
I don't understand how people claim to be friends and family, but they let the extracurricular activities come in between their friendship.
You better tell it.
Wow.
I don't understand how... Jesse, you were at my ball getting ready to walk Grand March, and you didn't. And a couple of weeks later, I see you coming out in a new house. But the house.
I can't take this comment.
I cannot take this comment.
It's fault. This made me almost hang up. I can't.
What did I do?
You tell me.
Because that causes friction, unnecessary friction.
Mm-hmm.
Between get off my phone. No, I'm not answering that call. It causes friction between people, you know, friends, because you got caught up in ballroom. Excuse me. You got caught up in ballroom and forgot about real life. You know, you forgot about...
Huh? But you know what? Some people have come to take ballroom as real life. When you have nothing going on in your personal life, if you're not a star in your own home or in your own life, then you, when somebody gives you a little bit of life or boost your ego a little bit up, then you tend to flip. It's the same way like celebrities do and stuff like that. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying completely because it's a key to me and I think it's funny and I understand what you're saying. But I have now seen people, definitely this summer of traveling everywhere and experiencing people. People take ballroom as real life.
Yeah, I'm a little lost now. You know, I may be a little, you know, because I do have a little cocktail over here. I am really lost on what Alexis is talking about. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you something. What don't come out in the wash or come out in the dry. Just stay tuned.
Oh, my God, it does.
So what happens if it don't come out neither one?
Oh, it's going to come out. It's going to come out.
I'm so lost. Okay. Somebody remind me on what her comment was.
It's not for you to ponder over, baby.
But you sound muffled, Alexa.
You.
It's nothing for you to ponder over, baby.
It is what it is.
Like they say, and this too shall pass.
Okay.
But the only thing that I got from you is that, and I do agree with you 100%, that certain people do allow the extracurricular, quote-unquote, extracurricular, to come between their family and friends and relationships and stuff. I definitely agree with that 100%, but I just didn't get what you were saying about Grand March.
No, what I said was, hypothetically speaking, I'm supposed to come out as in your house, and I leave the ball, something happened, gotta go, I didn't make it out for Grand March, right?
Uh-huh.
A few weeks later, I come down the aisle, and I debut as a new house.
Oof.
But you being the overall parent, and Vonna being the other overall parent, y'all didn't talk to each other, but y'all friends.
Uh-huh. So can you shed a little light on who you trying to
No.
I got it, but it don't matter. She don't need to put no names on it, but I got
everybody should have got it by now. They ain't got it, they slow.
I'm about to say, yeah, now, come on now.
You know what? I'm slow.
No, I'm about to say, I'm slow. I'm on that yellow bus, and I got my white helmet on, and I'm beating my head against the window. Because I don't get it.
That's fine. That's fine. Just
are
know,
you talking about the Meekleys and all them?
No, it ain't got nothing to do with that.
Oh,
don't worry about it, Jasmine.
Just keep going,
Jasmine.
Baby,
listen, I will play commercials all night till I get my answer.
I just got caught up to speed.
We'll give you the answer, Jazzy, on the aftermath.
How about this?
We do it on a private chat.
What private chat? Okay, everybody know what's going on. Jasmine.
Listen. Don't do that. I use that as an example because people let the ballroom come to friendship.
I definitely agree with that.
But you know what, Alexis, the key is, and this is where, and definitely most of us, including even you, you've been younger than Barbara, you've still been through a lot yourself. We have all come to realize that sometimes the friendships that we think or that we cultivate or that we think are real are not necessarily real.
Put me back on hold.
No, you ain't going on a hole.
Jasmine, we were just talking about that last night.
Yeah, we definitely were. Alexis, I am going to put you on hold because, you know, I love you and I respect you. If you want to come back on, you know how to get back.
No, I was just saying. Listen, this is my thing. Oh. On a real note, we need to learn what is fact and what is fiction. We need to learn the truth from the reality. Like I said, I haven't been around a long time, but I have been around long enough.
To see
some of the things that have happened. And it made me sit back and take inventory on my life. Because a lot of people who I thought were dear to me weren't. A lot of people I thought were my friends aren't. And just a lot of people, you know, and when you said earlier how I made a post today. Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week starts Friday. I, along with Keith, I can't think of his name right now, but I'll be under his direction working with the models doing their hair. And it was funny because a lot of the response, I didn't get as many responses as I thought I should, you know? But when I put up something negative, it was like, oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, bitch, you better read. Or, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, y'all hoes ain't numbers. Y'all hoes ain't shit anyway.
Baby, I go through the same thing on my Instagram. I sit there before I go to bed. It takes me about 30 minutes to fall right to sleep. So I'm on my phone, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at quotes, and I put all this stuff on my Instagram. Y'all want to follow me on Instagram? It's Miss Jasmine Couture. But I put all this stuff on Instagram, and you know I only get like one or two likes because they're just so positive. But when I sit here and I look at so much negative stuff that people put, pictures of their bodies, their asses, all this crazy stuff. You see so many motherfucking likes. You see so much attention towards the negative that I'm just like, child, I just don't get these people. But one thing I do say, and it's the same thing about this radio show. I have a bunch of listeners right now. I have a good amount of listeners right now and a good amount of people in the chat room. But it's nothing compared to the amount of people that are listening on Monday nights as well as Tuesday nights. And for the record, Tuesday night cast members, you guys have broken the record over the summer. Your numbers are crazy. When I set up the show today, I looked at the numbers for Tuesday night, and your numbers are off the chart. But anyway, I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I was kind of gagging at that when I was setting up the show today. But anyway, based on the negativity, you attract so much attention. But I'm going to read a message that I received today in my inbox when I got up. And that is the reason why I continue to do what I do. Because of things that I see that come across my screen like this. And everybody just kind of mute their phones a little bit because I'm getting feedback. But I just want to
Yes, who is it?
Okay, I don't hear it no no more. I got a message today, 10 hours ago, and it says, hello, thanks for adding me. I found it about you and your show on YouTube. Watching the ballroom videos. I have never been to a ball in my life, but I do find it a bit interesting. But what I want to say is that I enjoy what you and the others bring to that show I listen to, that I listen to. I've even listened to almost all of the 2001 archives, and now I am going back to the beginning. Listening to the show has allowed me to put faces to names and develop a few crushes, laugh out loud. But all in all, it has been a good experience this year finding out more about the ballroom scene and the people in it. And in the last 3 months, finding your show and listening and tuning in every week. I can't wait for the State of Emergency show to return. I wish you well with your Gagaween ball, and tell everyone I said hello, especially Kelly, I love her. Thanks for reading, and I appreciate all that you do for the community. When I got that message today from that person that sent it to me, I was really touched by that because it's one person. And to know that we're doing this and it's touching one person, and I did write him back, and he said that, you know, he's nervous about the scene, he's never been to a ball, you know, so forth and so on.
Stay away.
I told him I understand. But the fact that he's enjoying what we bring to the life, you know, that's amazing, you know. And, you know, it could be a few callers that we have, but then to know that we're touching one person, just like with the quotes that I put up on Instagram or on my Facebook page or whatever, it is just one or two, like, at least one or two people liked it, you know. That's what I believe in. And just like with you, I've seen what you said, Alexis, about, you know, the Fashion Week and all the rest of that stuff. If people are not commenting and liking it, at least one or two people are noticing it. And that's what's important. At the end of the evening, you're doing a very great, great job. That's a very good opportunity for you. And I'm proud of you, and I'm happy. You know me. I love the fact you're going to school and you're doing so much positive stuff with yourself. So I always support you with that. But, you know, I just learned to pay it. You know, I just learned to pay it and ignore it because people are just so negative.
Yeah. I realize sometimes I think if I knew now
mm-hmm.
the thing that I knew back in 2005 when my first gay mother knocked on my door and asked me to join her house, I probably would have came to balls, but I wouldn't have gotten so involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see a lot of girls, like my gay mother now, she walks, but she barely seldom comes out. It's not her life. You know, it's not her life that she has to constantly be at every ball.
A lot of people say the same thing about me. It's like, with me, I'll do what I can do as far as supporting this radio show, answering my phone calls, I mean people's phone calls and messages that reach out to me about anything, but I can't be at every ball. You know, there's no possible way. When you have the itinerary that I have each day and the responsibilities and everything that I have to face each day, there's no possible way I can do it. You know, I really wish I could do it, but then I take that back. I don't wish I could do it because what I see out here, it would be a complete waste of time. One thing about me is I don't like to depend on other people. I don't like to sit here and have to contact a whole bunch of people. I like to do things the way I like to do them. I like to go in. I like to go out. One thing I say about D.C., and D.C. has always been a convenience for me because I used to even go out to D.C. on a Wednesday, you know, and it wasn't ball related, but it was just like to see a family member because they were doing certain things every once a month on a Wednesday night. You know, bottom line is, I like to just fly in and fly out, you know, hit it. But when it comes to the balls, you're taking so many chances, you know, and you get so much negative feedback at the end of the evening or the next day, and it just kind of really pushes you away from doing something. So I just don't make it a top priority like a lot of people do. Hello?
We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
I have a couple of callers really quickly. 718-788, you're on the air.
Hello, everybody. I'm just listening.
Hey, hello,
everybody. Welcome back to your second syndicated series, Miss Jasmine. I'm really enjoying it tonight, and I just want to say to Alexis, I have to definitely agree about the friendship factor of the ballroom scene today. I think it's really tarnished, because if you're really and truly my friend, it doesn't matter if we're out there competing. It's all in fun. If I'm up there competing, say, for instance, me and Jasmine or Alexis is up there competing with each other and having fun with it, we know in the end of it all, we're girlfriends, we're laughing and having a good time at that moment. The thing about ballroom, people don't know how to separate. They don't know how to separate friendship for the stuff and for the scene. It makes me wonder, like, if you can't separate your friendship while you're competing, it makes me wonder, are we really, really friends? Or were we really friends beyond and before this?
Number one, Tiana, mm-hmm. I want you to stay right there, because I'm going to bring up something that I was not going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it, because you really touched up on something. But somebody was trying to say something to you, so go ahead and respond back. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
This is my thing, sis, and I agree with you a lot.
Definitely.
But you know what? Being young, when I first came out to the scene, and like Vonna said, I got a little life.
Right.
And I got a big head. Very fast.
We all do.
But you know, just as fast as they give you that life, they take it right back. Like I heard one person say, the ballroom scene will build you up to tear you down.
It does.
It sure will. It sure will.
But you know what? I've learned that I came in the scene not knowing nothing. I really didn't know that much about. I had only seen one ball on DVD when I walked my first ball. So it was like, okay, I'm new to this, and I was scared. But once I got comfortable, I repeat, once I got comfortable. When your comfort turns into cockiness.
Right.
So sometimes you have to realize that, bitch, wait a minute, you're a legend and you stay at home with your mama?
In their basement.
Wait a minute.
With three other people.
Hold on.
Ain't that some bullshit?
You're an icon.
Go ahead, let her talk.
You an icon and you working on the register at McDonald's?
Bitch, you better say this shit.
Alexis got a testimony today.
Hold on, wait.
Naima, I need that church fan.
You an icon and you a legend and you don't have a place to stay.
Wow.
So what did I tell you?
That's why.
You know what it tells you? Legendary status and icon status. And all the rest of that status don't mean shit.
Right, because I feel like, you know what I'm saying, it's always good to get to be acknowledged and get the accolades that you get. And whoever gave me whatever they gave me, I thank them for it. But it doesn't take me any further than what I let it. Because in the end of it all, beyond in my personal life, you know, Kiana Tanisha Lewis is still Kiana Tanisha Lewis, but when I'm in the scene, it's Mother Ibisu. But you have to have a separation process of your real life in the ball world, because if you don't, like we all have, like I talk about this time and time again, we all get caught up, and by mixing the two, which you cannot do, and nobody can ever say they never got caught up, because we've all did. where we let
you're
certain
right.
things
you're
go.
So right.
It's times, and I can sit here and not lie to you, where I have forfeited a light bill to go to a ball to do this for my house, to do this for the category, and to come back home and hoping to win that cash prize, which is stupid, and to try to do what you have to do. But then you have to think, reality sets in and say, what are you doing? Get your life together, because when that ball is over, you have your life and your livelihood. People don't know how to separate this, separate it, and it's really, really sad. And
do you know people have lost who they really are walking
home? It was times where
some people don't even know who the fuck they are.
Right, it's true. And you know what, this ball, and I have to definitely agree with your lessons, it can make you or break you, because sometimes when I see the comments of sometimes, say, for instance, if I take home a grand prize, I'm thankful for it, and I'm still so humbled to it to this day. You got people on YouTube that want to read me as well as other people. In reality, it really, really hurts. Like, to say the things that they say about me, and it makes me want to just stray away as well as others to stray away from ballroom. You have to be really strong for this scene, because if you're not a strong individual, just like I talk to the young kids and to my personal children and whoever I talk to, it will break you and it will tear you down. That's why you have to just, you know, do what you have to do, because it becomes a lot. As far as, you know, the balance and all the things that's happening with ballroom today, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing surprises me anymore. That's why basically I weigh out the functions I go to. I go to where I go to, and I have a good time for what it is. I enjoy, I mingle. If I'm going to walk, I'm going to walk. I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to just go home and do what I need to do.
Since you know what, that's why I feel like that's why I'm not in no house. Because one, I'm going to walk when I get ready to.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I don't want no bitch telling me, oh, you got to walk. No, bitch, no, I don't have to walk a motherfucking thing.
Right, and that part is true, though, but and the friendship thing, it makes you wonder. I feel like if you're friends beyond and on and beyond both.
Well, you know what? I want to ask you guys this question.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Bishop and Keisha one more time, but I really have a question, and it's probably going to change the topic a little bit.
Right.
But let me go to you guys really quick. Bishop, you're back on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening. But since I'm back on, just like to Lex's comment, when you're dealing with an environment that has become evolved around negativity,
mm-hmm.
no matter how forward you move in a positive manner, that will always be an oversight, and the negativity will always be the top dog.
Michi, stop. Jasmine, let me say this. This young man on this phone didn't know me from Adam Tomcat. I met him through somebody else. Of course, he had heard of who this Tavy was. He had heard who I was or what the rumors that were going around my name. But when I tell you, this young man, we have one of the best relationships that I can ever thank God for, because he placed him in my life at a time when I was down and out and I didn't have a lot of people to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And me and him sat in that house many days and just talked to each other, and I thank him for being there when nobody else was. Go ahead, Ricky.
Amen.
Oh.
Thank you. That means a lot. Well, one thing, because me as an individual, just touching on that, is I don't view people at what other people view them as.
Right.
Your relationship with them may have went sour because of X, Y, and Z, but that doesn't make me look at them based upon what you said. That's like, to me, I look at that as very high school-y, to where, my girlfriend don't like them, then we ain't going to like me. That's childish to me. And we supposed to be grown people. We supposed to be all trying to come out, meet people. You know, I let everybody be their self. Now, if you prove to me to be something other than what you say that you are, then now that's my own personal opinion about you, and I'm going to take that for my own grain of salt. But, I mean, you know, as far as people commenting on stuff that is good,
you'll never get a lot of response off of a good, off of something
right.
that's becoming successful in life. When you're dealing with people who have no success in life,
mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with a lot of people in the ballroom community, really just, like, to them, ballroom has become their life. So if they're not succeeding in that, then they're not going to be comfortable with anybody who's doing anything other than that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you so much again for tuning in. I'm going to put you back on hold. Keisha, really quickly, what you got to say?
Oh, God. I just, first of all, I want to have, like, to say good evening, everybody. And,
hey.
You know, I'm one of the, I would say, one of the longest listeners, and I also voice my opinion. And what I have to say, you know, I take a lot from all of y'all because I think each and every one of you I can relate to. And believe it or not, I utilize it in my everyday life. You know, we all, no one's perfect. And I think we all can take bits and pieces from everybody and we can apply it in our everyday life. You know, one of the reasons why I enjoy or did the ballroom scene is because it was an extracurricular activity and I liked to be a part of creative people. The voguing, the runway, the different categories. And my envision of the ballroom scene when I got into it was, it to me, it was like a gay fraternity and sorority. The difference is it's co-ed. And, you know, I'm a college graduate, and, of course, you have the fraternities and you have the sororities. So my envision was, oh, it's like a gay fraternity, a family type of oriented thing. But what I got out of it was totally the opposite. Jealousy, vindictiveness, shadiness, connivingness, you know, it was a lot of the negative stuff. And to me, it just turned me off. And
that's
then I got
right.
to the point where I felt that if you was not the it factor, and Kiana could testify, because there are some people who it took years, not five, not 10, maybe 15 years to finally get their life, I knew I could not wait that long. I'm sorry. And I felt that if I invested 4 years, I think in my 50th, I thought that I should be the it factor. But you already know, for some people, it took them 15 years
mm-hmm.
to become who they are now. That's not
yeah.
really fair. And I'm not saying it is what it is, but it's not fair. And it just turned me off of what I saw in the ballroom scene,
mm-hmm.
even the kiki functions, you know. And I'm not going to throw no names out there, but the fakeness, the
mm-hmm.
fakeness,
mm-hmm.
and I can relate to Alexis. It is so many fake, phony people, and it's a shame
right.
that people have to do shit just for publicity. They tell you one thing today and tomorrow is a different thing. How do you expect someone to relate to you and respect you and you lying and making up shit just to get a name or a title or to keep your reputation?
But
and then
you
want the young generation, you want the young generation to respect you?
Mm-hmm.
No, no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
But, you know, I just say even beyond ballroom, it's still a part of life to me, because in your real life, it doesn't have to deal with ballroom. You deal with that stuff, too, in your real life, too.
You're right. You're right. I have one thing to say, Alexis. I respect and I agree to everything you said, but when you made the comment about there's legends who live in apartments, you got to understand something, Alexis. There are a lot of people who are not privileged. A lot of them have fucked up in their life, and they're trying to, I guess they're trying to rebuild what they ruined when they were younger. You know, and, you know, sometimes...
All right,
go ahead.
Let me say something really quickly.
Okay.
Because I want to change the topic up a little bit. Go ahead, Alexis. Say what you wanted to say. I hate cutting everybody off.
I agree with you, Keisha, because Listen. Bitch, I'm not no saint. You hear me? I am fucked up. Keisha, you talking to a girl who has lived in homes in Atlanta. Fully furnished homes from front to back. I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You have to take, Gotti people said, the devil meant it for bad, but I'm so glad.
Yes, God meant it for my good. Yes.
Okay then.
Let me change the topic.
Excuses ain't gonna get you nowhere in life.
That's true.
My mama told me that a long time ago. Then stop making excuses for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? When you start throwing that title around, I'm a legend, I'm icon, then bitch, guess what? I have to bring you back to reality.
I want to give a special shout out right now to Deshaun Ibisu.
Oh yeah, hey Deshaun. Yes,
he's actually right now messaging me from Taiwan.
Yes, I know.
Where he is actually over there doing voguing classes and workshops with the people out there. He is listening to the show before he actually starts his day. There's a 12-hour difference. It is actually 1:29 p.m. over there.
Wow.
And that is something amazing. Again, how these shows can touch individuals, but how we need to pay homage to the really, really important people that are a part of our scene. Deshaun is all the way over there giving those workshops and classes to those people, and that is so amazing. So as all you people that have so much to say on Facebook and in all the groups, you guys need to give him a shout-out.
Send him
a message, because what he is actually doing is amazing. That is what you call iconic. Those are iconic moves. Those are history-making moves where you take your talent and now you are out there sharing it on the other side of the world with people, different people that don't have the opportunities in countries that do not have the opportunities that we have over here in our United States of America. That is amazing.
It is.
God bless you, Deshaun, for what you are doing.
Yes, and we are so proud of him in the House of Ibisu, of what he's doing and what he's bringing. We love you, Deshaun. Hope to see you soon. Keep doing what you do.
I want to bring up something, and I want to get everybody's opinion on it. We talk about, basically the queens and pretty much a lot of the things that people are doing within our community, how negative people are, how cutthroat people are, how people are losing friendships and things over the ballroom scene, over categories, over houses, things of that sort. Alexis, I'm about to hit you with one of the most, you're not even aware of this. I should get keys to that group.
Sure, I'm so sorry about my...
With the keys that I have.
On BGC.
Can you hear me?
I'm listening. You know, my ears opened up when you said cheese.
Let me tell you people something. One thing that I'm going to say to each and every one of you people that are listening on this phone is you don't have friends within this ballroom thing, and you don't have many people that you can trust. When you do find a friend or someone you can trust, you need to hold on to them.
That's
but you
right.
also need to be very, very careful with them. I don't know where this feedback is coming from, so what I got to say is very important. So I'm about to meet a whole bunch of people just so I can say what I have to say. Hello, can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not hearing a lot of feedback. I'll mute you guys in a second. You people need to be very, very careful, even with the ones that you call your friends, even with the ones that you call your lovers, even with the ones you call your brothers and your sisters. One thing that I have noticed about our community is that, especially when it's a friend or someone you're in a relationship with, we do not like to get hurt. We do not like our emotions to play, to be affected by stuff, and we go on a rampage to hurt and destroy the person that we once called our lovers, our brothers, and our sisters. I got a call from a parent not too long ago, very recently, and the parent shared with me that their child is incarcerated for a minor charge, not nothing very, very big, a minor charge. Something as simple as maybe not paying a fine or something like that. But with their ex-lover, ex-friend, ex-brother, ex-sister, roommate, or someone that they considered close, house member, house parent, I'm not going to let it all out the bag, but someone that they called
someone close to them decided to take it upon themselves to go to the Fed and work with the Fed for a couple of months as this person was incarcerated, and gave the Fed so much more information about this individual who is already incarcerated and going through something within themselves already while they're in prison, in jail, but decided to go to the Fed and work with them and allow them to bring up 14 additional federal charges against them. All because they were upset at the individual. This person basically took it upon themselves to not just let the person go, or, you know, he's already locked up, so pay it, you know. They took it upon themselves to go for destroying, destruction, and literally worked with the Fed. Now, I'm still waiting for full details on it before it actually goes public, because it will go public, and when it goes public, when I tell you these two iconic houses are going to go back to Royale, because these are very important people within their house, but you took it upon yourself to become an, I don't know what you want to call that, a rat, an informant, or whatever, and I guess it got to the point where the Fed took everything to the individual and said, this is the person we have been working with, this is the information they have turned in, these are the possessions they had of yours, and this is what we're going to charge you with. We will see you in a couple of months when you go to court. And all the person's mother could do was cry to me on the phone. Why would someone that once was close with my child, someone that I allowed to come into my home with my child, someone that I invited at my dinner table with my child, do this and destroy my child? What do you guys have to say about our community going in for this?
Hold on. Let me say this, Jasmine, first. Let me say this. Being a person that has dealt with that, before I touch it, I'm going to say this. I have learned that people will say, how can I say this? Detectives will say one thing. I'm just speaking on personal. I don't know exactly what you're talking about. But I have been in situations where the detectives have told people I said one thing and it was something totally different, and it became a whole big thing. So I don't know, but I have been in a situation where, and I'm not going to call them names, and those who know me, they know what happened, where I was put into a whole load of shit. And it was something that I did not have anything to do with.
We know about, you know, we know about that situation, but this person has clearly took the items, you know, machinery, ID, and have turned them in and said, this is what he was working with.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, Jasmine, let me say this. Okay, I'm gonna put myself all over. Yeah, let me take my sheets off of myself. I have three prison numbers. The first one was for the same cause. It was a person who, she was, when I moved here to Ohio, she was my girlfriend. We have similar names, like we were sisters. And her boyfriend was beating on her. I let her move into my house. We became roommates. It was all love. She ended up getting kind of, I guess, jealous or bitter-hearted at the money that I was making and the things that I was doing. And so one day, the apartment complex manager called my phone because she was in cahoots with the things that we were doing. And she was like, you know, you don't want to come home. And she took video on her phone of how they had everybody in the apartment laid out on the floor as the girl who was my roommate was telling them, you know, what this is, where the checks are, this is where the machine is, this is where the credit card printer is, this is what this was. I sent it on video. I end up going to jail. I end up beating her up. They did not find me for a while. When they caught me, I still didn't know the dynamics of what was going on at this time. I didn't know when they caught me. And when I got there, my lawyer said, well, you know, the pretty Puerto Rican girl is downstairs telling everything. So, you know, you need to kind of pull it together and do this and the other. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a trooper. If I do something wrong or if it's my shade or my fault, fight with it. But it was just a shade incident. But it made me a better person. It made me a different person. I see this girl to this very day. I don't hold any hard feelings or any bitterness towards, because she's suffering for the things that she feel that she turned on me. Because prison was, even though I'm not going to lie and say that it was a cakewalk for me, I'm a bitch. So it was easy for me. I did what I had to do because I know that in my heart that I committed some of those, 90% of the crimes that she told, I committed them. So I can't be mad at the fact that I had to live that rack and I had to deal with what I had to deal with. You know what I'm saying? But and I dealt with them, and at the end, it made, you know, it turned my diamond to a whole different level. You know what I'm saying? So I understand what that person is going through, but it's in a cause and effect. I can't tell on you if I'm not doing anything. So I look at it from both sides of a coin, because I've been told on not once, not twice, but three different times. I've been turned by a girlfriend. I've been turned by a lover. And I've been turned by another friend. So I know what that feels like, and I know how hurtful it is. And it can be a big situation, but you have to look in yourself and change yourself and feel a different way about yourself, because then that way that you can't let someone still hold that kind of shackle over you where I'm pissed off or I'm upset or I'm bitter. You have to move past that.
What is it about our community that causes us or individuals within our community to take it to that level to destroy someone that way?
Sometimes it's everything. It's the same thing with not even our own community. It's definitely me being in prison. I learned it straight, too. Sometimes it's jealousy. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's, you know, it's no honor among thieves. You know what I'm saying? So if we're sitting together, don't mean I have to ride with you later. You know what I'm saying? So that's really where it comes from. It's a lack of, I don't give a fuck. I'm a con man. You're a con man. Let the best con man win.
I agree with Amaya. I really, Vonna, I agree with you. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. I remember when APs first came out, right? I had been writing checks for so long, that's all I do. Somebody, I wanted to get in the AP game. Well, one of the girls said, oh, don't tell her, because once she get a hold of it, she going to run it dry. Well, bitch, what you supposed to do? Get your body.
Okay.
So that goes to show you how people are jealous. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. Jasmine, he said, the worst feeling in my life was when to have the feds come kick my door in. The worst feeling. And the second worst feeling was to get pulled over by those same federal officers 3 years later.
Yep.
Wow.
But I vowed to myself this last time, after doing 14 months at Fulton County Detention Center, I'm not going back.
Yeah.
So, and I tell people now, any dirt that you do,
they will come back to you.
So, do it by your motherfucking self.
Well, one thing I want to say to everybody that's listening and everybody that's tuning in, be careful what you share with with your people, with your friends. Mm-hmm. Everybody is not your friend. Everybody is a lover. Be careful what you share, because even with this experience, and I've known this for years. That's why I don't allow
too many people in my circle. You know, I don't allow too many people in my home. I just have a big distrust for a lot of people. And it's not that I just, you know, walk around with a chip on my shoulder, but when you've been hurt so many times and you've been through so many issues, you have to find a way to protect yourself. And, you know, the bad part about it is that being innocent, you know, becomes victim, you know, falls victim to that as well. But you have to be careful. This one situation that I'm talking about, I think it's so, so sad. And when it does come to light, I think what's going to wind up happening is that one individual that is doing all this, like you said, it's going to get them as well, because people are going to look at that individual as, you know, the bottom of the barrel. You know, I sat here and as I'm talking to the individual's mother on the phone, I'm looking at a video clip of this person who did this, and he was just walking a ball. You know what I'm saying? And as this one person that, you know, is sitting in a jail cell, and now is probably going to get so many years based on that charge, their charges, you're at a ball having fun.
Let me say this. Class is a two-edged sword. And you have to remember, I have to remember, and Naima, I told Naima this the other day, and she said, "Bitch, you crazy. When you have done so much in your life, you have to remember, Beyonce said it best, what goes around comes around."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying the person that snitched his life. No, I'm not saying that at all. Because if you do dirt, you have to realize that something is going to, it may not come back to you in the same shape, form, or fashion, but things start to happen to you. And you start to wonder, why has this happened? Well, bitch, you've been living a crooked life all your life. What, you just thought you were just going to live scot-free?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Not, and I'm not trying to validate the person or whoever that did whatever they did, but we have to realize when we do things, things come back to us.
Yeah.
So just like the person is running around, walking balls, oh yeah, she did this, she did that. You have to realize you every dog that brings a bone has to carry one also. So just like you opened up and told them everything, that's what they're looking at your dumb ass now.
True.
Uh-huh. Oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm just happy to be away. I'm just so happy. It's here for people to not have to sleep and look over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
This has been really a testimonial night.
Testimonial?
Yeah, I made up a word. And what?
I'm sure you did.
I'm iconic, and
ooh,
child, keep on trying, and you gonna get beat up like a tamarine. You keep messing with me,
child. Dante not gonna let you suck his dick. Leave him alone.
Oh God!
Well,
you had to lighten the mood a little bit, honey.
So, Jasmine, can we talk about what we, what the girls support and what they don't support, what they shouldn't support? Being that, you know, at the last minute of the show, we were talking about how the girls were patronizing that chicken that was at the Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that. Bring it up.
Hold on one second. Naima, I listened to that after y'all had got off the show. I did it this morning, and I really wanted to comment on that, so I'm glad you brought that up. It is such, you know, I agree to a certain extent of what you were saying, but I am a firm believer in, I don't care what your personal belief is or what you do as a person or what you think of your views is. I respect them, not as you as a person, but as I say, as a general blanket statement, it's not going to make me to where I'm not going to buy a shirt or eat a sandwich or do anything, because we buy stuff from a bunch of people who don't support black people. We buy stuff and we do stuff from a bunch of people who don't support transgenders or gays. But if we lived our life based upon, I'm not supporting because of this, and I'm not supporting people because of that, or I'm not going to eat this. I mean, I watch people drink Snapple juices every day. I can tell you about the college that I went to, the Snapple headquarters is right there, and it's ran by the KKK. But it don't stop a girl from going to pick up a juice every now and then if they want one, because people don't think that far ahead. I mean, if I don't support gay marriage as well, I am a firm, I just do not believe in it, but it has nothing to do with whether it's religion or not. I just don't believe in it, period. But I'm not going to stop eating Chick-fil-A. I eat Chick-fil-A down to the floor. I live for this thing. I'm going to keep going there, because just because he don't support it don't mean your food is not good or it's something that I don't want or I don't need.
Well, let me say this. You know, everything that you said you had a point on, but I think it comes to a point where when you know something and you still support, and then it comes to another time where you don't know and you support, you're naive. And
okay.
So you can't be
naive.
You can't be.
Let me say, do y'all remember when Reebok, was it Reebok or British Knights? What are your shoes? And in the bottom of the shoe, it used to say, "Thank you, nigga, for buying my shoes."
Are you for real?
Y'all don't remember that shoe? I want to say it was British Knights.
It might have been British Knights.
Or when Tommy Hilfiger would get on TV and say how he
I was just getting ready to say that.
Me and Skateboard did the same thing.
Yeah, that don't stop y'all niggas from buying them shit. They shit. Let me tell y'all about Skateboard.
Actually, that made them go buy more.
Let me tell y'all something I learned about faggots. Faggots will support what the fuck they want to support, when they want to support it, when it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit that we shouldn't support.
Alexis is giving a sermon tonight.
There's a lot of shit we shouldn't support as a race. Fuck homosexuality as a race. As a human being, there's a lot of shit we shouldn't support.
Yeah.
But you think we do? Fuck no. But these people, these Christian people, because I've worked for Chick-fil-A. It is a Christian-based organization. They don't even work on Sundays. But I bet you the white man said, y'all ass got to bring y'all ass, you know, on Sundays. Y'all going. But Christian believes that on the seventh day that he rested. I bet y'all still take y'all ass to work. Fuck out of here with that shit.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Faggots will support what they want to support when it's convenient to them. I bet you right now, if you come in New York City, if they say they're going to close the village down and ban gay people from New York City, I bet you every faggot ain't going to leave here. If churches in Atlanta, you know they got, 99-cent Tuesday, they don't support gays, I bet they ain't going to stop no faggots from eating their chicken on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, some people, you know, won't, and some people will. I mean, so it's a valid point either way. You know, it's like you said, whatever is convenient for you, you know, at that time. I mean, I've really never even eaten at Church's Chicken, you know, before or whatever. I mean, not Church's Chicken, Chick-fil-A. I've never had anything out of there, so I wouldn't even know what I'm missing out of there, period.
I tell you this, when I go back home, at the end of this month, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. Can I get a number one with provolone, please? It's just like this, at the end of the day, their belief is not hurting me. Now, guess what?
How many black people will get out there and vote for Romney?
Yeah,
that's what y'all need to be supporting.
Yes.
That's what, instead of worrying about them not supporting gay marriage, worry about the black people who not supporting Obama. Or worry about, you see how it's funny that I bet you y'all ain't gonna start buying Nicki Minaj CDs.
I never bought one and stole it.
I mean, me either, but still. It's still gonna be this. She supports Nick Romney. You know who buy her CDs? Bitches who get welfare checks every motherfucking month.
Mm-hmm.
Bitches who get food stamps. Bitch, if I could vote, guess what? I'll vote for every bitch who don't vote. You know what? We homosexuals have found a way to craft everything. Learn how to craft that ballot so we ain't got to worry about shit. Homosexuals, sometimes they irk my nerves because they stand up for some of the stupidest shit. If they don't support gay marriage, fine. Half of y'all motherfuckers ain't gonna get married any motherfucking way. You too busy sucking everybody's dick to be worried about being married to one damn person.
They married every other week. They got a new husband or new wife.
Bitch, please. Y'all worry about Chick-fil-A don't support gay marriage.
Yeah, I think it's bigger fish to fry. It's people who have definitely, you know, like people like me, Naima, Alexis, it's people who cannot stand them or would never agree with the fact that we're transgender. They would never agree with the fact that, you know, TJ or Jason are homosexual males. You know, it's a lot of things that people don't agree with. Okay, yeah, okay.
I'm a woman.
I promise you. but it's the people that's never going to agree. But I'm not going to stop. A lady in my leasing office, you know, we had a conversation and I ended up talking. I told her, it's amazing that nobody really talks about, you know, transformation. She said, it's questions I want to ask, but I never want to seem too rude. I said, I don't care about what the fuck you ask me because I'm okay in myself. Whether you agree with it, whether you like it, whether you want to sleep with it, or whether you want to bury it, I am proud of what I do and how I do it, and what you do and what you think not going to affect me. So what you think as a company is not going to affect me. What you the bed cover I'm laying under, you might not like gay people at home. I don't know if it's going to stop me from getting this cover because I live for it. I mean, it's just how I think, and I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that you're wrong or anything because I totally agree with you.
Ooh,
when it comes
Vana,
to the fact that you're what?
Vana, how many drug dealers don't like faggots? Okay.
Tons of them. But I'm buying it.
But that don't stop y'all faggots from buying their weed and their coke. Out of here. Do y'all know how many, listen, let me tell y'all something. Y'all know how many drug boys that I have sent?
Baby, I'm over here choking.
You know how many drug boys I have sent? And just look at that faggot.
Uh-huh.
Let me get that, please. Thank you. Give him my money and I keep on going. And I think it's funny.
And he's trying to get what's
up. But see, this is what I'm saying. We have to learn how to stand for the right thing.
Yeah.
All the bitches that was whining about, oh, they don't support gay marriage, ain't that I'm thinking about getting married. Half of them barely can support themselves, let alone marrying somebody. I can't tell nobody what not to stand for, because I can't do that. But sometimes we have to think about what really matters. Because Chick-fil-A doesn't want you to get married, is that going to stop you from getting married?
Not at all.
Guess what? I'm going to get married and I'm going to serve Chick-fil-A at my motherfucking reception. How you doing?
They go boycott
you. My thing is, we all a human race, like I said last night, and you know, anybody better than anybody else, so that we all bleed. Same blood, and you know, at the end of the doggone day, or what have you, we all was created from something else. So basically,
we don't possess anything else other than what we attain ourselves to possess. So, you know, these people need to come up off their high horses and figure that they are holier than thou art, a lot of these people, and, you know, stop the shit, for real, cut the shit.
But you know what, Naima, even in our lifestyle, we do it. If you're not in the in crowd, you know, we got something to say. If you don't come to the bar with the cutest shoes on or the right clutch, you'll read. If your hair a little too big, you'll read. You don't know, oh, are we looking down? Oh, girl, she does want the naughty girls. I'm not hanging out with the naughty girls. So it's in human nature to ostracize yourself from people who you feel that you don't blend well with, or people that you don't believe their same views. You know, I'm as a red line, I might not like, you know, the house of Mbibi. You know what I'm saying? So we used to like their mate, their kiki house. You know what I'm saying? So it's in human nature sometimes to be, a lot of us are on high horses or pedestals on different situations. I'm not saying all of us, because definitely in listening to you, Naima, and listening to you on radio shows and stuff, I don't think that as you as a person. But a lot of us, even in this scene, who definitely have a problem with, oh, my God, the gay marriage and what they're saying about us and what we shouldn't do, will turn around and say and go to an open house and be like, well, I ain't letting her in, girl. She's that, girl. I ain't letting her in, girl. She a slut, girl. And all this. But then here it is. Now you want somebody to feel some kind of way on a mass national scale about you when you go on your local scale being cute to another bitch doing the exact same thing they're doing, ostracizing a person.
Lil Scrappy said, what did Lil Scrappy say? Gay people is the main reason HIV and all that is being spread.
And everybody still turn in and watch that damn show.
All right. Like I said, I'll support what y'all
want. That show come on at 9 o'clock. Them bitches breaking their necks to get home to see that shit.
Well, see, I don't have cable.
But
I only can watch episodes here and there. I didn't even know that. What happened?
He's not the only person on the show.
Yeah.
But the president of Chick-fil-A ain't the only one working there either.
Exactly.
How do y'all feel being that, you know, okay, you know, I happen to bring up the Chick-fil-A, you know, incident and you know, support stuff like that, and because they're Christians or what have you, how do y'all feel about gay churches or alternative churches where people can go if you are of an alternative lifestyle to go and be comfortable and still hear the word and still, huh?
Can I go first? Go ahead. I want you to finish first.
Now, before we go into that topic really quickly, because I stepped away from the computer, we will go into that topic, but Marcus, you're back on the air. I think you wanted to touch upon something.
Well, actually, I have something I wanted to bring up that has really been bothering me based on the last few weeks and months that I've still seen this going on. I guess, you know, it's more ballroom related. Okay. Well, Jasmine, when you have a ball, you work out something with the people that you're going to hire, correct? Like the DJ and the commentators. And I mean, I don't know if you had them sign contracts or pay deposits or whatever. You know, I guess that's the new thing. But I'm noticing now there's a lot of balls falling on the same date with the same people being advertised to come places, and both promoters are saying, you know, well, they're going to be here, they're going to be there. And I'm not just talking about...
Marcus?
What?
Marcus?
What?
I'm not going to do this with you tonight.
No. I'm talking about... Now that I'm even talking about the Midwest, I just noticed another one in November. Like, you know, it's three balls now in November, and two of them in the same state, which I guess it could be possible, but one of them is across the country all the way in L.A. So how can one person be in the same place at two times? So, I mean, how do you feel about that, Jasmine? And what do you think?
Well, somebody did bring it up, and they told me to talk about it, so I'm glad you brought it up. I think it's a fool, to be honest with you. Here we go, like I said in the beginning of the show, we go from having a ball every week to now it looks like the fall season is going to be two balls on the same day, you know, a couple of times. You know, we have the, I think, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Marco and Goddess are battling the same day. Is that
in the same region?
You,
that's one of the balls. Hold on,
Alexis.
Hold on, Alexis.
Then you have My Gagaween and Jay Blonick doing a ball up in the West. Buffalo or something like that, which is a
form. Yeah, Buffalo.
And then you have the House of Valentino. And I'm not sure what the other two balls are.
The one in L.A., the Ovenus ball, and then Alvernian and
Alvernian and them are throwing a ball. I think it's completely a fool. I think that, again, it's all about greed. I think that it's all about being cutthroat. It's all about being messy. And I think when it comes to the people as commentators or the hired help, I don't see. Oh, okay, I see her. Tiana, you're back.
Thank you.
Okay. I think as far as the hired help goes, in all honesty, I think they're trying to play their cards correctly because they feel that what will wind up happening as it gets closer to the event, someone will bow out. And they don't want to look like the fool by going with the one that's going to bow out while somebody else replaces them. As you notice, with me, I'm different. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go through all this drama. I'm not going to sit here and make all these promises. I'm not going to sit here. My thing is I'm going to let people reach out to me. I'm not going to reach out to you. When I created my flyer, I put my commentators are motherfucking Freddie, Jason, and Michael Myers. I don't give a fuck who's going to commentate. Bottom line is I'll work something out eventually with them. But I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth and try to pull you away from here. You're going to go where you want to go. And if you want to come to Gagaween, I'm not changing Gagaween for nobody. If you want to come to Gagaween, you're going to let me know that you want to come to Gagaween. Are you going to ask me, do you have a spot for me? I get messages now. Can I be on payroll? Yep. If that's what you want. You want to come? Yes, I have room for you. That's what I'm going to do. But the bottom line
Wait, hold on. Is the payroll for Gagaween?
Wait, unless you could weather my Jasmine, can I be on payroll?
Shit.
What is your position? What do you bring in?
What are the agreements? I can promote the hell out of that ball and annoy the shit out of people on Facebook.
Oh, my.
DJ, I will give you $50
you
not
do
to
that.
Do that.
You do that for free. So why would you pay
don't
you
make me come
downstairs
because I'll annoy the hell out of you all night.
My door's locked.
But my point is that people are going to try to play their cards correctly, and they're going to go with what they feel is going to be the winner in the end. But they also don't want to look like a fool, so they probably are promising themselves to either the highest bidder or the one, making sure that if one gives out, they can still go to the next person. I think it's a complete mess, to be honest with you. I think that especially the commentators, they have enough power or respect where they can actually work it out with these promoters or something and say, even make suggestions. But it's all about the money with people and it's all about the greed with people. So I really don't even know what to say, but I know somebody's phone is making a whole bunch of noise. But I really don't know what to say, Marcus, to be honest with you. I just think it's a mess.
It is a mess.
Then my second question was in regards to I'm noticing a lot of balls are being fully sponsored by organizations like HIV nonprofits, but these organizations they're just giving the money away to ballroom people, and they're getting unrealistic requests like we need 200 people tested. Well, that's not going to happen at a ball.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. I was speaking with someone about this about a week ago. All these little organizations and all these people who are either using people for money or they have all these organizations trying to gain all this money from the state, basically, is going to start coming to a halt in October. And you want to know why?
Because that's when the physical year begins.
No. Because come October, everyone is going to have the opportunity to go to your local drugstore, and purchase your very own HIV testing kit. And it's the same testing kit that they're using at these organizations. So now the state is going to turn around and say, well, why are we going to be paying you to do this? Because now people are going to have the luxury of doing it from their own home with the same type of equipment and everything else. So it's all going to start coming tumbling down very soon anyway. When you're dealing with these organizations and they're trying to get as much money as they can from the state, they're throwing money here, they're throwing money there. I don't truly believe in them at all, to be honest with you. And then they want to control where the money goes, or if it's not them reaping a benefit from it, they don't want to give the money out or whatever. I do not believe in a sponsored ball. I don't believe in a sponsored category. I do believe in a donation. But all that sponsorship and all the rest of that stuff that comes with it, no. If you're going to donate something, then you work it out with the promoter, you give it to them in advance, and once you get it, then you promote it and say that XYZ is going to be donating X amount of dollars to this category or something. That's a different thing. But when it comes time to these organizations and all these sponsorships and all these sponsor categories, I do not believe in it, and I truly think it is getting so fucking out of hand that I think it's really, really ridiculous. If you can't throw a ball by yourself or with your house, and you have to go seeking all this assistance and seeking all this help and have to go through so much stuff, then you might as well not throw a ball yourself. Don't do a ball.
Okay. We and don't speaking with someone who done did the sponsor thing, the main people who always sit there and say they're going to do such and such or be there for your back be the same ones who back out at the last minute and you stuck to deal with everything on your own.
Okay, because y'all don't want y'all another Red Legend on your hands.
Who?
Oh, no.
Well, he building houses.
You know, that, and, you know, I'm noticing a lot of balls are having this house with the most tested for this amount of money and that amount. And my whole problem with it is that, okay, I really believe now at this point people are actually getting tested, especially in the ballroom scene. They understand the risk, and a lot of people know that they're already infected. I mean, I hate to say it that. They already know. So they're taking the incentives, and, you know, once you already know you're positive, I mean, it, at the point, it's time for you to move into care. And, you know, their organizations and their outreach out for that. But we keep giving this money out for balls, $1,000, $2,000, $1,700, $500, and we're basically taking the same resources and reaching out to the people that we already know that they're infected. So it's kind of a waste of taxpayers' money. I was at a cookout. I mean, I was at the kickball game in D.C., and they were giving out incentives for people to get, like, a $20 gift card. And somebody was like, yeah, I just got tested last. Well, basically, they were saying they already knew their results, which, I mean, if you're negative, it's still possible you could be in that, you know, window period. But, you know, they already knew their situation. They're like, well, I'm going to get this $20. Well, really, what are you doing? You're just wasting the $20 incentive when it was really meant for someone who's fully unaware or someone who's actively trying to keep, you know, who hasn't really been tested, you know, within a, you know, a decent amount of time. And they haven't put any type of provisions on this yet. I mean, they've thrown, you know, how many testings as a house have we done this year? Now they have these crazy requirements on it. Like, I think I saw one that says you must have at least 20 people tested. Well, some houses don't even have 20 people in it. So are you really, what value is that really bringing?
Let me ask you a question. I'm not going to do this to you in my inbox. What person, and I know this may sound like a stupid question, but what person in their right mind in this day and age with all of the access to health care. Right now, if you don't know your status, something is wrong with you. Because they test you going to jail. They test you going. I mean, you can get a test at the damn fire station. So my thing to people is, why? What? The only reason you don't go get tested is because you know you're already positive, and you don't want to solidify it.
Well,
hold on, but let me say something. And I totally agree with Marcus, but it's the same way that I watch people during the Hurricane Katrina thing. I watch people go down as the makeup addresses to get the fake FEMA cards, the FEMA credit cards, so they can say, well, I was a victim and I need $500. They did the same exact thing.
Wait,
they weren't going there. You didn't have to go there. You can sign up for it on the Red Cross site. They had like 4 or 5 different sites so that people was letting people sign up and saying that they were a victim, that they needed money for this, that they were a victim, that they had lost this. Mm-hmm. I know at least 15 or 20 girls that got their credit card. No shade.
Okay, hold on. Now, I ain't gonna knock a bitch hustle. How much were they giving away?
But it's the same hustle as if you know my status already. I know I'm HIV negative or I know I'm sick.
And that $20.
Girl, you know these girls ain't got $20. You know these girls ain't got $20 to stay. We gonna stop
it.
What you know what? I have sat there and watched girls sit outside the club and ante up on a 20 bag of Coke. So we're going to stop playing.
We're going to stop playing
and act like that $20 didn't come in handy for the girls to put their back pages up, to go to pay an extra $5. Girl, please. We're going to stop playing.
You know what? Okay. Don't you think at this point we're past
this epidemic? No. Rewarding people for knowing what they should know. I mean,
no.
Not
mm-hmm.
knowing is the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So
Why
are we rewarding you for you doing, at this point, I just think it's crazy. We're rewarding you for you to know about, you know, your health.
Oh,
so
I
know
that
high blood
know
pressure
about.
Runs
well,
in my family. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. But it's a scam and it's a con, just like everything else that everybody else does.
You know,
is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, like, you know, 15, you know, when I first came out 10 years ago, you know, 9 years ago, it was still, we felt as though some people were untouchable. You're like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a top, I really don't have to worry about getting it.
Right.
Everybody's being touched now. So at this point,
right.
You know, at this point, no one's invincible to it, you know.
Right.
If my mother's getting an HIV test, and I really don't believe my mother has sex, you know, anymore. That's what she's saying.
Ew.
But, you know, she realizing that, you know, it's more to it than that. It's just important
right.
for you to, do, you know, just to get tested. But I'm
right.
just noticing, you know, all of these people, that, you know, they're throwing thousands of dollars to people's balls. The people are still charging
mm-hmm.
regular admission to get into the ball. And then really,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, what have they, you know, it's not like a POCC or a latex or a D-up ball where I really feel as though the goal was to actually teach some type of prevention measure. It wasn't really
right.
to get, you know, D-Up was never intended for you to come and get tested. The goal was for you to actually get information during the ball that
mm-hmm.
would actually maybe save your life, you know, to keep
right.
somebody that was negative, to keep them negative.
But
now, you know, just throwing this money away and the category is not calling for anything preventative. They have to do no type of research. They, you know, they're bringing in an honor of somebody or they're just tying a red ribbon to their
mm-hmm.
effect. And they went
mm-hmm.
in this money, and, you know,
right.
I'm a little appalled because it's taxpayers' dollars. I mean, this is my,
mm-hmm.
this is the money coming out of my paycheck
mm-hmm.
every 2 weeks that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Don't do that. You just
got
started
question.
Working.
Okay.
Don't do
that. I
got
a question.
Hold
on. You're talking over each other. Go ahead. One and ten.
Well, can I say something?
Okay.
Go
ahead.
I just want to say, honey, like G.I. Joe says, honey, and no one is half the battle.
Hello.
But that's true.
Well, let me ask you a
question.
I have a question about this, you know, HIV testing that you can buy at the drugstore.
Right.
How many people think that they are going to kind of rack up on the supplies and test the trade before, you know, they start having trades?
Let me say something.
The trade going, they quit the trade, go to sleep.
They're going to wait till after the trade, I'll fuck them.
Oh, my God.
Babe, we go Quitland. Them kids is not going to buy them tests to go test nobody. They go lay their ass up, get fucked raw, nutted in, and not pay two fucks about them. And they go buy them.
And that's what it's going to get, because the trade is always the first ones, honey, that would be ready to get on the field.
Okay.
You know,
something that Alexis has said, she has said that everybody should be aware of their status. True,
mm-hmm.
But how about a lot of people and the young people and whoever that are afraid of their status?
Well,
because, you know,
well,
know that. You know what I'm saying?
But how many kids don't care? I have certain groups of kids who did not,
okay.
who thought that it was honestly a joke. That whether they
right.
got sick or not, I've heard kids tell me, well, if I do get it, I'm gonna make them pay me for it anyway. I'm gonna get me a free apartment. I'm gonna get me a check.
True.
And that's what
mm-hmm.
they live for. Some of it. I've been listening to more people in this
right.
thing, like the younger generation, mm-hmm. versus more like ours, who we care once we got it. We try to stay healthy, and we want our girls to
right.
leave, so we try to keep paying up appearances.
You know, the sad part is, you know why a lot of people don't
mm-hmm.
want to know their status?
Right. Yeah.
Because they already know.
No, not because they already know.
And because a lot of them are afraid of being, I think a lot of them are afraid of being ostracized
exactly.
from their family.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to
okay.
just say this
exactly.
one thing. I recently had to deal with this, you know, not to put my personal business out there. As far as my family, a particular individual with my family, I felt like, he was being, you know, I guess he felt like he was ostracized of our family because my family's from a small part of Georgia where,
right.
you know, when they found out, the first thing is they found out I had a sex change. You had people in my family, such as my aunt, ostracize me and scandalize me all around town where I felt like this individual in my family didn't want to go through the scrutiny of going through the things that he had to do, and he was so afraid of being ostracized and of all these things until it was too late, and it broke me.
Right.
Because
right.
a lot of these young people are afraid. They think HIV is a killer, the first thing. They think HIV is nasty. It's such a you know, not only a disease, it's like, if this person finds out about this, I'm going to be taunted for the rest of my life. My family's not
mm-hmm.
going to deal with this. My family's going to throw me to the side. It's really sad that the young kids have to go through this, you know, and deal with this. So I see why a lot of young individuals don't want to know their status. We all should
right.
be aware, but guess what?
Definitely.
A lot of them are just not, maybe not aware within themselves and just afraid of it.
Yeah.
We're already being ostracized enough with family being gay or whoever we are with family. Because,
right.
you know, family could be the worst people in the world, not only your
Definitely.
Friends. Mm-hmm. But when you're being taunted from your family, your mom
yeah.
and your family,
it
your
hurts.
Aunts, your uncles, that hurts.
It hurts.
The
mm-hmm.
main ones that be in town is your family that's downing you and doing these things to you. And imagine if they find out, you're positive. Imagine the
yeah.
scrutiny you'll get. That's sad. That's why a lot of these young people pass away. They be so in denial. They don't know who to go to. It's sad, and it breaks me.
It does.
But,
I have a child. I have a post-medical child.
Right.
I was telling this story to two of my new kids that I just got. But
uh-huh.
I have a personal gay child. He first time out, he
mm-hmm.
had sex with a boy. He
right.
really didn't know nothing about nothing. He was a church queen, so he was just, you know, kind of, you know, being adventurous. He got
right.
HIV positive. He became HIV positive his first strike. And his family doesn't know about him.
Mm-hmm.
He has nobody he feels that he can turn to. So not
mm-hmm.
only is, and this is how he feels, this is not how I feel, not only am I dying, I
mm-hmm.
am, I can't tell my family, I can't tell my mother,
mm-hmm.
I'm sneaking around the house taking medicine. You know, and it crushes me. And
right.
I try to, and I tell my new kids, I don't tell them which one it is, but I do tell them that story so that they can understand that, you know,
mm-hmm.
if somebody out there that's bad, somebody's story is worse than yours. And
that's
some,
true.
But you might, but you might can educate somebody with that story. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? And I try to build up to my kids that it's okay if you do,
right.
it's okay to say whatever you're going to do. It's okay to get tested. It's okay to tell that boy no, he can't fuck you tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to go, to grab the condom while you fool and you're trying to get it in. Because that condom might save you tonight. It's just the truth, though. You know, and I try to be a brash parent about it so they can be understanding. You know what I'm saying? Because if I sugarcoat it or be cute to them, they think, okay, mama's just being nice. No, I come at you raw so you understand what it's all about.
And you know what another thing is, and the secret part of it, and a lot of people, as sort of kind of piggyback what Jasmine was talking about, friends, say for instance, these young people want to tell them, they're so afraid to tell an individual about their status or either try to talk to some individual, and then they feel like if you get in a reading session with this individual, because I'm from the, you know, the 92 era, and I come out where they said, oh, Miss Thing, you sick, you dying, you got the kitty, you got the monster. Who wants to go through that? It's like, I trust you. You said, you know, teach me, and you know something about me. That's the first thing they throw up in their face. So a lot of these people are afraid. They are so afraid. You know, that's just... It's a lot.
You
and then sometimes when they want to, have you noticed this? Like, when they want to get the help, and it's too late now. They already, their body is just so worn down, and it's just so sad. It's like, wow.
It's so sad. Let's go.
I want to piggyback off of something. One of the things that I don't agree with is that they do, I don't agree with that on street testing. For the simple fact, I mean, I agree with it, but I don't agree with it for the simple fact that, what is your mindset? You go into this van, this whatever you want to call it, and you get tested, and then you come back and you find out, and you're going to the club, and you find out right before you go into this club, you find out you're HIV positive. There's no one there for you to talk to, because all they're going to do is, well, here's your gift card. And give you some information, and then send you on your way. And for the rest of the night, you got in your mindset that I just found out I'm HIV positive tonight going out to the club. I found out I'm positive, and my three girlfriends, they got this, bitch, I'm negative. And you got in your head that you positive. I don't agree with that. I mean, I agree with that you
think for numbers, for quota, to fill their quota for the day in numbers.
Wait. You mean to tell me? Hold on. You mean to tell me that you're positive and you going on this for the club?
Well, hold on, Alexis.
Hold on, wait.
No, he talking.
Why would I feel any type of way? Because you continued on with your night.
Huh?
Hello.
Can y'all hear me?
Marcus, we can hear you.
One at a time, y'all, for real. Go ahead, Alexis. But Marcus, you are on. We can hear you. Go ahead, Alexis.
Okay. If you go to the club, right? God, heaven forbid, they say, okay, I apologize. You know, I'm sorry they informed me that you're positive. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I've never worked with a nonprofit organization, they're supposed to have some kind of counselor or someone to help you or talk to you, right?
Right.
But if you continue to go on into the club and continue on with your night, how the fuck am I supposed to have sympathy for you?
Alexis, that's what I wanted to let you know. Normally, when they do the testing in a mobile unit, it's usually a rapid test, which actually means you can't confirm anything. You'll never find out exactly at the club you're HIV positive. So what'll happen is you'll get tested, they'll swab your mouth, they'll do the 10-minute testing, you'll come back, and either you'll get a negative, which that means you're fine, or they get what they call, you know, a preliminary positive test. The only way you can be diagnosed with HIV is actually through blood tests, which they can't do right there on the spot. North Carolina does blood tests, but that's when they call you back and let you know if there's a problem. So no one has ever found out at the club. Now, they might have found out they had syphilis. That's a little different. But they may have not found out that they were HIV positive at the club, but they have been alerted that you have right now, this could be a preliminary, you know, you're coming up preliminary positive, which sometimes people come up, you know, they do the blood test and they're not positive, or, you know, you know, it could actually happen that way. So, it happens, but they do have counselors there on the spot. When those people do get that preliminary information, they do make sure they're legally bound to, you know, speak to the person and make sure they're in a stable mind when they leave, you know, making sure they're not going to hurt somebody. But Brock always been against them testing at a ball, because even to get a preliminary positive at a ball, like, it's
just about to say
that would just blow my whole...
That would blow my night.
That would
blow
my whole night.
Home and,
yeah, that's
like
a kind of, that's a depressing state. What you gonna do? Dance it off? Because and after you dance it off, you gonna go back home and you still have to deal with the issue and problem.
Right. And also,
but then
you get the ball and you get shocked. You know, just
right.
you might be over it.
That
you
that's a double shock.
What if you get the preliminary positive and then, like
right.
you said, Marcus, it's not. You know, you could have went to the doctor and they said that you didn't have it, but because of this preliminary positive, now you go home and kill yourself.
Oh, my God.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that's happened somewhere in life, you know. And
yeah,
I'm
sure
it
has.
That's true.
I'm sure it has
it's
at
crazy.
Some point. Some people, right.
It
and then it could, or it could have been, there have been times where, and especially in North Carolina,
right.
you did the preliminary test and it came up negative, and then they happened to do, because they take blood to do a syphilis test in North Carolina too. They came back and then they found out you have syphilis. You don't have HIV, but you have syphilis.
Oh,
just worse. You
right.
know, and then they calling you and telling you, we need you to come down,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what's going on, and you're
sitting
there gagging. And you right, you're worn out.
Right.
I just think at this point the way we should be teaching, you know, prevention
mm-hmm.
is the mere fact of, if you don't know, you're going. I mean, you're not going to be saying voter gag, no
right.
gag. I mean, if you don't know, you're going to gag. And knowing it's half the battle, you can. It's something that you can live with. A lot of people are dealing with it, and even though it is a personal thing, some people will never. You know, as many people that are infected in the ballroom scene, we only have a very few people that are very outspoken about their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to respect
mm-hmm.
that. But
definitely.
Even knowing that should be, you know, this is still obtainable. You can still work. You can still have a life. You can still survive. You can still have kids. You can, you know, have a normal life. And people aren't accepting. We're not teaching that point. We're telling them, you know,
mm-hmm.
come get this $20
That's
and,
stupid.
You know, life goes on.
Yeah,
right.
now, do you think they only do that a lot of sometimes, like for promotion, or do you think they do it for quota, to fill a certain quota for their? That's really sad, though. You have to do that.
Well,
like,
you know, I got into an argument with somebody the other time. I was telling
mm-hmm.
them I was thinking about moving to D.C. And they were like,
right.
well, why would you move to D.C.? They have one of the highest HIV rates and things. I said, you know what? The HIV rate is no higher than yours. What's happening is everybody who's getting tested in D.C. already knows it's some tea, and they're probably
mm-hmm.
getting tested in comparison to people in your city who are not getting tested at all. And then, you know, they're just, you know, they're gagging. And, you know, he looked at me and he was like, ooh, that was
no
serious
one.
To say. I said, but that's the truth. You know,
it's
those
truth.
Numbers
right.
are so
Can
skewed.
I ask you a question, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
What do you move into D.C. have to do with the HIV rate?
That's stupid. Because
well,
I feel like
somebody,
no
you know,
state,
just think
no
about
one's
that's
exempt.
Just what, that's the first thing they said. I was like, you know, I'm thinking about moving to D.C.
Ignorant.
I said, you know, it's so professional there and everybody's so relationship-oriented.
Right.
And they were like, but you know, they have one of the highest age, you know, HIV rates
mm-hmm.
in the country. And I said, well,
but that shows
I'm
what kind of individual
city.
They are.
But
it
at
shows
the same time,
no
that also goes
exempt.
Just like with New York. If you hear anybody say they're moving to New York or
right.
saying they're moving to the Bronx something, first thing you say is, somebody gonna say, oh,
they
got the shit because New York gives you a free
apartment.
Yeah,
that is
right.
really sad because it's. I just feel like no one is exempt, and for that
you
individual
know.
To say that to you, Marcus, or whatever, they're just so stupid. It just is. You talking
right.
about moving in your life together? The first
I've
thing you talk about is the age rate. Why, really?
Right. And that was the first thing. We said that it was Sunday, and I mean, they were kind of tipsy, but I was just like, you know. And
there ain't that much tipsy in the world.
Well,
you
know, I'm making an announcement now. In November, I'm moving out of the state of Florida, so I wonder what they're going to say about me.
Well, honey, I'm moving to St. Olaf, Minnesota next week. If they have a problem with that, let me know.
Closed silence.
But you know
I'm
what? Moving. But you know what?
I'm moving.
You know what? On a very serious thing, like, okay, here, even
okay.
me moving here to Cleveland, in Cleveland, I
okay.
when I moved here, they had an epidemic, and this is going to, like, blow your mind, because it blew mine.
Right.
They had a high school here. It's called Shaw High School. The
uh-huh.
epidemic of HIV/AIDS in that high school was
mm-hmm.
so high that they closed
wow.
the high school.
And they sent the kids and they bust the kids to all different, and you can look it up on Google. It blew my mind to watch it on the news.
Right.
That not only in our gay community where, you know, we're the barriers of it, that,
mm-hmm.
that this high school of these kids of 9th to 12th grade, that the epidemic of HIV and AIDS was so high that they had to actually close the school.
Wow, that's so sad.
Let me piggyback on something Marcus said earlier.
Right.
You know my biggest pet peeve is with people.
Right.
Regardless, Mark, you said how they were saying the girls moving to New York and,
mm-hmm.
you know. Let me tell you something. You know how many bitches are sleeping in hotel apartments, sharing meds, Yeah, to go to the doctor, oh, girl, when you go to the doctor, get your pills, I'll take yours.
Mm-hmm.
You better be glad these bitches is going to get help.
I know a few people right.
that are scared to go down on Ponce in Atlanta because they're scared, too busy scared to run into other people. You know what I told them? Well, bitch, if you down there and you want to put your hand down there, I'm down there for the same motherfucking reason. So what's the problem? Okay. Just
right.
Can't be worried about other people.
And you know the main people.
Mind your business. Go get help for yourself.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you know the main people, Alexis, and people can agree with me on the phone. The ones that's always talking about who's sick, who's dying, who's dead, is the main ones. Whatever. Just like it's like. Oh, my God.
I do have a concern that now, you know, we've lost a lot of people recently.
We have.
And the problem is that we don't even really talk about it anymore, and that's a problem.
Right.
I just don't believe all of these people are passing from HIV. Just, they might have done drugs. They could have had high blood pressure. It could have been cancer, but because it's so taboo to talk about it, we're not even discussing, you know, we really don't know. And, I mean, it's a scary thing. I think we're scaring people away from getting tested because we say, oh, this person just died. That person could have just been in a bad car accident and the ball team just fell
right,
out. We just see their family posting on their page that this person died.
But then, Marcus, we have to face reality, too. We have lost a lot of individuals from the disease, too. You know what I'm saying?
We have a lot. But in this modern day, you know, with the medicine that is out there, you know, there is life. You know, there is some type of longevity. And we're losing a lot of younger people.
Yes.
I mean, I just can't believe these people are just passing. All because, and I don't even want us to blame it on HIV because that's a scary thing in itself
for
people to want to get tested.
But you got to realize there could be other things as well. They could have been doing drugs. They could have been doing other things as well to add on to it.
Or they could have not been positive, possibly
true.
Not positive at all.
Or not taking care of themselves in general. Because, you know.
We had someone ask on a ballroom throwback page, how did someone pass? And, you know, whether the ballroom knows it or not, unless somebody saw a coroner's report, you don't know how nobody passed. You really don't know.
Hello?
How they passed.
Unless you're their family,
you know,
too. They killed
you.
They so quick to throw you.
Right.
Unless you, they so quick to throw you 6 feet under, honey. You can have a coffin. Oh, she had a heart. She's a child, boo.
Okay.
I used to tell my friends back home, I said, baby, I can walk outside and get hit by a bus.
Okay.
You know, Alexis, I busted. That bitch is sick.
That's how they do.
I'm going to tell y'all something. And speaking of this, I know of a few girls that in this scene that everybody to them has the disease except for them. And they be reading people and they have meeting people.
Naima.
Yes, let me finish my thought.
Naima.
They've been reading for years. It's a lot of people that read. But one thing I don't play with, let me finish my thought. If y'all play this, crucify me. One thing I don't play is health reads. We can call each other names. We can read each other, call each other everything, but the child of God. But when it comes to health reads, that's not cute.
It's
and
not I'm going
to tell you something. A lot of people who be reading the girls and saying, oh, you know, Miss Tanya sick, you know, she got one foot in the grave and one foot, all these things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how times have changed and the tables have turned.
That's
because
right.
a lot of these girls out here who are wishing death, and speaking ill on a lot of people have definitely changed and not have been changed in a good way in Christ.
Can I ask your people something? I'm not trying to throw nobody under the bus. This is something serious. Oh. You know what I hate? I think me and Naima was having a long conversation the other day. I'm not to bring nobody's name in it because I don't get involved in that mess. I hate contradictors. That's
mm-hmm.
a person that will sit there and praise the Lord, talk about God, talk about what they done and what apartment they got for you and this and this and this and this and this and that,
mm-hmm.
and want to put it out there for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find that to be cute. That's not funny
no,
to me because
no,
if you're doing it, no.
Hold on,
I'm saying
hold on.
No,
hold on.
I will tell this, no, I'm not putting nobody, I'm not being
right.
mean. I would say this to this person, like I said, if you're going to do it from your heart, do it from your heart. That's how I feel about it. Don't you know, brag on what you claim you have done and say what you have done to put other people's business out there to make you feel like you're Mother Teresa. I don't like stuff like that.
This is what I was about to say, Kiana. You know what? I feel like that, too. But you have to be on both sides of that motherfucking stick.
True.
Let me tell you something.
Hmm.
Bitches, when they down and out, they're your best motherfucking friend.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get on their motherfucking feet, it's fuck you. So bitch,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you got to bring these hoes back to reality and
that's
say, bitch,
right.
wait a minute, hold on.
Mm.
See, just a few weeks ago, bitch, you ain't have a pot to piss in and a woman to throw it out.
You better tell
mm-hmm.
okay.
Let
you better
me tell
that.
You something. So what you have to be once again, you have to be mindful of what you put out in the atmosphere.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Just because bitches have called me
mm-hmm.
and say, girl, I don't have no food. I don't have no money. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to give you this. I just moved to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend called me and say, Mom, I'm about to be put out on the streets of D.C. What
oh,
could
wow.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I said, well, I'm in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I said, have you been taking care of yourself? Have you been taking care of yourself? They said,
right.
no. I
oh,
said,
wow.
well, listen,
mm-hmm.
come to New York, and they'll help you get yourself situated.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know this bitch?
Ooh.
Came to my house.
Mm.
They slept on my sofa, ate my food, borrowed my money.
That's with your man.
Oh, no.
Okay, Kiana.
If she sat with my man, she wouldn't even be here. And
ooh,
do you know
Lord.
That bitch had the nerve to tell me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, girl, when she finally got on her feet and moved into her place and everything,
right.
you know, that bitch, oh, I don't have to give you a motherfucking thing. I said, see, that's why I don't deal with y'all bitches right now.
You better
you
tell my boy.
Hold on. But you know what I know the difference? You
uh-huh.
don't, she, and I would have told her the same thing I have told many, many, many people who have tried to turn my skirt that way. It is a reason why I still have a place. It is a reason why I have my own stuff. It is a reason why my health is intact. It is a reason why God gave me a sane mind. It is
that's
a reason why everything I do seems to prosper in one form or another. So you don't have to pay me back.
And what is it
you
called?
Don't have to
right.
get, first of all, it's just a blessing to me because what I gave to you, I gave to you out of love. It's
that's
a gift.
Right.
You ain't got to give it back to me. You know what? You can go up there and you can sit on your high horse because, again, I have had so many people sit on their high horse and I have had so many people look down
we
and say, well,
down,
girl, now that I got on my feet. But guess what? You saw me in the middle level and now then when you went below me, you still wanted
mm-hmm.
me to pull you back up again. But do you remember when you were up there and you were giving it? No. Now you can pull yourself back up. But God's going to bless me anyway. I'm going to still hand
yes,
it to
he
you.
Yes, he is. He's going to bless you twice.
But guess what, Alexis? Guess what? Now you're doing amazing in school. Now you are sitting. Now
right.
I just sat there and looked on your Facebook. I just started, but you
so
got to step in. You were doing hair for people, for your modeling thing. So guess what? All of this being paid back to you. All of this being paid back to you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm trying to get Kiana to realize people will be so funny when they get back on their feet. But I
sure
do
will.
Things out of the kindness of my heart.
I know.
Yep.
Me too. But that's why I'm still shaking my purse right now.
Okay.
But no shade, Vonna. I did just think about it. I do got to give you your props and stuff because me moving on my own for the first time, you have been a bitch the whole time of me doing this.
Yes,
I mean, a complete bitch. Sometimes I wanted to wring your neck while your ass was asleep.
Oh, my. Sheesh.
But I can't say I did. If you was not helping me, then I would not have my own house right now.
Oh, that's
but
beautiful.
Yeah, because you know what? I am a friend. I'm going to tell you what other people don't. If me and Kiana is sitting here and Kiana said, well, okay, girl, this is my first place, girl. I'm trying to get on my feet. And then Alexis is telling her every night, girl, let's go get a bag and go to the bar. I'm going to tell you the truth. That Alexis ain't your girlfriend. Because when the rent is due, and bitch, when you got to wipe your ass and you got to eat, only thing you're going to be thinking about, girl, I should have spent that last $30 at the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just
Lord knows
I
wanted to have my black ass at Grand March.
Honey, that's why I'm still shaking my purse right now, my good old pocketbook.
I will say
all
this.
Right,
not all right, all right, all right, all right. Really quickly, because you guys are just going crazy.
I'm saying enough Kiki. Bitch, we got all we getting deducted.
No, it was a good. It was
We have a caller, 410462. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was going to say something, but Marcus cleared it all up before the topic you guys had before. I just want to say I enjoyed the show a lot, and I can't believe I stayed up this long to hear it, but congrats, guys. I hope to hear it more.
Yes, baby, we thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Enrique.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We thank you, baby.
Thank
you,
Enrique.
And
Michi, you're back.
You think everybody's sexy? Girl.
Well, I wanted to say this, you know, you know, to be all mushy and everything like that.
Hello?
Go ahead, Naima,
yeah. Oh, okay.
No, not to be all mushy. Naima, we have a caller.
Oh,
this
I'm sorry.
That. A good show.
Hello?
Hello?
3286, you're on the air.
Oh, my record. I'm sorry, I was doing something else.
Yes, my Mr. is back.
Oh, hey, B3 in the house. I was actually waiting for the other topic Naima was bringing up about the alternative churches. But I've enjoyed the topic about the HIV/AIDS epidemic and the things like that, which is, you know, which actually really was like, took my mind back because my first gay child, my first personal child who I took under my wing, who was somebody who was abandoned by his family, coming up in the church, his father, a pastor in the apostolic faith, which don't believe in nothing. And, you know, he was, you know, within the lifestyle, kind of realized that his family found out from somebody who was vicious and vindictive and went back and said, oh, your son is this, that. Took some pictures of him out at the club and stuff and sent them to his family. So it was a big thing. I took him under my wing. You know, that was my personal child. Raised him up. Mm-hmm. He became infected with the virus. Rest of his soul. He died in 2008. But it was a real big thing. And what was so sad about his situation is not only was he rejected by his family, but then he disclosed to a few people who he felt was his friends, and then he felt rejected by his own community where he felt he could, you know, be himself. And, you know, that what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of people who are infected or getting infected have lost that family that they grew up with and knew and have turned to the streets and to the community to find that family that they wish they had at one point when they
And when we turn our backs on them and cut them off, cut them based off, because really what they're doing is they're going through something. And, you know, you can't, we as a community, we as a people, whether gay community, straight community, point blank, period. When we lift off the, when we take our finger off the judgment button and put our finger on the hope, the life, the love, the respect button of what, you know, more people will begin to become more relevant. More people will begin to open up and find out, say, you know, like, I mean, you know, it's a lot of, like, I have people I feel I can talk to. Alexis is someone I feel I can talk to and just sit down and tell her anything. Right. And it's funny, it's people I've known longer than her that I wouldn't dare sit at a table and disclose anything that I'm personally going through. And to me, that's really sad.
It is.
That's sad. It's people I've known for 14, 15 years. I don't sat there and did coke with. We don't went picked up coke together. We don't got high. We don't went to balls. We don't travel. We don't rode in cars. But I would not sit there and have a personal conversation with you. But I would pick up the phone and talk to Alexis about it. Why? Because me and Alexis have had conversations that have never left Dunwoody, Georgia, Exit 5.
I'm the same way with Alexis, honey. I misjudged. I didn't mean to cut you off, me too, but I wanted to get this in before we get cut off. But I had misjudged on that lady, honey. I just knew, honey, that she was a classic in so many words. And it took me getting to know Alexis personally and conversations and different things that we've experienced and talk about to know that, wait a minute, this lady is, she may have been some of those things to those other people, but she was nothing like that to me. And she is definitely somebody who I can actually call, just like Kiana, who I could call my friend, who I can actually rely on. This lady fed me. This lady did a lot of things for me.
Right.
She's definitely been there for me, you know, beyond other people who I've known for years.
That's
so I
true.
Can attest and be a witness to that, what you said. I'll meet you with that.
Yeah,
hold on
and,
a second.
I mean,
seven,
like,
hold on, hold on. 773-778, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I'm guessing my number is not in the call sheet list, but that's okay.
Who is this?
This is Devin.
No, your number is not on the call sheet, Devin.
Oh,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Ooh.
Nobody has. Nobody's number.
You gonna
go
sit there and have a cold pop, and you gonna have time for it. Anyway, I want to say tonight was a great show, great premiere. Y'all really kept it good, you know, and I enjoy all of it. Like every point of it, especially when it comes down to the whole like HIV AIDS thing, because I've had to do a whole lot of peer mentoring, a whole lot of youth mentoring, so I know how that is. I have a tendency to tell, I know people do all that. I know we do it here in Chicago. They had these big-ass cluster bombs or whatever full of HIV testing or whatever. They love doing it at every goddamn ball or every event that they have. And I tend to tell people, you know, do it in private.
Yeah.
Because, like y'all say, going to a club, going to a ball, you get that news or you think you're getting that news or whatever, your whole entire world explodes. I've
That's
seen
true.
Kids just come out and come out of getting that test or whatever, and they just pass out and hit the floor all for some shit, and they not ready for that. So I understand that. I know how that stuff goes, and then people don't really know how to do the follow-up. You know, go get yourself checked out. Go see how healthy you really are. You know, get yourself looked at and keep up with your regular appointments or whatever. It's a lot of, you know, you have to tell people how stuff goes before they just run around talking about they're going to get an SSI check and they're going to get rent lived and they're going to do all this other stuff. Maybe you got to live to be able to do it.
You know, let me say something about all this. You know, I got to have Devin finish up so I can.
But I'm just saying, you got to be able to live to be able to enjoy the fact that you're going to be getting a Social Security check and you're going to be having rent to stay and whatever the fuck it is you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't endorse it. I know that it's out there, but I don't endorse it. I prefer if you know you get maybe one of your friends, like y'all say, somebody you can really trust, go get yourself tested, go get yourself checked out so you can have somebody to talk to or whatever. Because, you know, everybody got one friend that they should be able to trust or whatever like that. I know you're going to have to dig for it, But go get yourself tested. If you got to find some out of the way department, a health clinic, or whatever this case may be,
right?
Just get yourself checked out. I had to go to the hospital last week. I had to get checked out, and that was some whole other shit just after being in the waiting room for like 14 hours.
Right.
Just for them to tell me it's something else. So don't go in there just for no HIV test or whatever. Get your regular checkouts too.
Right.
Please go get your regular checkouts, because the shit that I was worried about was heart attacks and stroke.
Right.
So please go
annual.
Get yourself checked out.
Get a full annual.
Get a full annual.
Yes, definitely.
Because I walked up in there telling them people I had heart palpitations, I had a sore shoulder, half
right.
of my face was sliding off, child, my heart was beating irregular,
oh, wow.
I was having chest pains and some of everything else, and child, it was something completely different. And when they turned around and told me that it added up, all that stuff added up, it could have been that.
Oh, wow.
But it was three or four different things that could have added up to that, but once they took it apart, that's when they said, oh, it's Bell's palsy. You'll be fine in like 6 months. Your shoulder, my shoulder came from me doing New Way and all that, dislocating my shoulder, you know, doing different stuff like that. Also, for you girls that's sitting around there voguing, yeah, you might definitely want to go get those regular checkups. Especially you dramatic girls that keep managing to hit your head on flow. Them concussions are not to be played with.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much, Devin. I'm going to put you back on hold. And, Michi, I just want you to send
stuff
so I can put you on hold, too, really quickly. But it's been a great show. Big ups to Jasmine. This is very much needed conversations where people can speak freely and get to voice their opinions, and we can get some real-life stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I live for the Monday Night Show and the Tuesday Night Raw. I ain't going to get all deep like I'm better than holier than thou. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, we need to sit down and have a reality check and have a reality show where we talk about real life outside of balling, because at the end of the day, when that ball is over and you get that little $6 trophy, because that's not as much as it costs to be made, depending on what ball you go to, maybe as much as $20. At the end of the day, I mean, no shame. You know, life still matters. You still have
That's
to live
true.
Life. And
right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, when you have people around you who are infected with that, don't kill the person or kill their character, but love them to life. Because when you love somebody to life, it takes them a whole lot. It takes them a long way. They get a better outlook on life, and it can help them become a better person by you just loving them to life. So,
that is so true.
Well,
thank you so much, and I really appreciate the kind words. The show is not going to be over with now because we did start an hour late, but we will be going into record mode in the next 3 minutes. We will still stay on the air if you guys want for a few minutes to just talk. If you guys are on the phone line, make sure you stay on the phone line. If you get disconnected, that will be it for you. If you're not on the phone line listening from the computer, you might want to call in now, 347-215-6820, so we can just finish up on our topic. So that's what I wanted to pretty much say. But definitely thank you for the kind words. We still have Jason, TJ, Naima, Vana, and Kiana on the line. Marcus is still there as well. And we lost Alexis.
Kiana,
I'm here.
Alexis,
if
you're in queue, please press 1 really quickly.
Kiana, do you feel like you had a Kojic revival with all the new mothers that came out?
Well,
you know what?
Yeah, I got my big hat with the cross on it, honey. It says Christ going down the cross. Christ.
Feel like you're at a Kojic conference. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Kojic, honey, Church of God in Christ. Got my
thing. So I want to pose a question to the panel.
Because
we touched on these little 15-minute rapid tests. Do you think they're going to be a waste or not? Because how many people do you really think are going to go get these tests and as they get ready to live with somebody, they're ready to do something? Oh, hold on. Let me hold on. We got to wait 15 minutes while we do this test real quick.
But you got.
I don't think that's the purpose of the test. The purpose of the test is to provide anonymity for you people who want to get tested without going to a doctor or going at a club. I mean, you're not going to do it, you know, because it's, you know, because of the window period, the 6 month period, you know, things can happen. You're not, you know, no one's going to do it like, oh, let me check, because it's not real time results right there on the spot. You could, it could come up negative and you actually be positive. Who knows? I mean, it's precautionary.
Somebody's phone is carrying.
They should not use it for that manner.
Vonda, you got to move closer to your phone. That Pantech going out.
Girl,
oh, goodness.
Girl, please. You can't throw on a cordless phone. Listen, don't do me.
Listen, we just can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No.
No.
Oh my God. Hey, y'all gonna say no, just y'all can't hear me, but I say, can y'all hear me? Y'all say no.
Because we can comprehend you, we can hear you.
Listen, can you hear me now?
Yeah, get out the bathroom.
I'm not in the bathroom, I'm in my bedroom. But no, they should not use those tests for that. But we know some people are stupid and they'll try to think that they can't use them. But Marcus made a really good point. They should be used for anonymity. They should be used for your own comfort, and so that sometimes you don't always want to turn to somebody, that you can use them just for yourself, and so that you can get help for yourself or be mentally okay and stable in yourself.
That is so true. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know how many people that's so afraid to go to a doctor to this day.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the people that are not afraid, that are so afraid to go to a doctor and all the rest of them. But let's talk about the ones that really don't give a fuck.
And that's
what the problem is. Now, I want everyone to listen clearly when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the problem is right now with so many people, that they do not give a fuck. They can have so much going good within themselves. They're smart. They're educated. They probably have a good home. They have a good family. They have people who love them. They, you know, they don't come from broken backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot going on for themselves, but they still do not care about themselves enough. To do something. They would rather go meet a stranger and fuck with that stranger, not caring about themselves, not even fucking for the money. They would just go fuck and suck a dick and allow someone to fuck them or, you know, fuck someone, and they don't care. And that is exactly how these diseases spread so fast. It spreads so fast. This is what they decide to do. And you find people who make excuses for them. Or you find people who are, like, kind of turn their head when they're doing this. But then at the end, when they're sick, or they're, you know, they have some STD, or, you know, they're going through something, then you want to turn around and judge them. But why are you judging them now when all is happening to them? You should have been trying to judge. You should have judged them while they were doing this, or trying to pull them and steer them in the right direction as they were doing this. The ones that want to creep out late at night and go do all these things and then come back like nothing was ever done or nothing was ever wrong or something like that. I mean, this is what you have to face. These are the ones that don't give a fuck.
That's sad. They
really, really do not care. And that's what the sad part about it is. The bottom line is, and I've said this a million times, you have to learn to love. Love yourself.
You got to.
Love who you are. Appreciate who you are. Appreciate yourself. Appreciate what you have. Stop trying to look for the easy route. Stop looking for the instant route. Appreciate what you have and where you are, because, you know, everybody else's story can be so much more worse than yours. Everybody, they want to complain so much. I don't have this. I don't have that. This is going on, that's going on, I'm bored, I'm tired, I'm broke. You know, they, people want to complain about so many things, and then they use these things as an excuse. But what's going to wind up happening is they're going to get stuck with something that they're, you know, I always say it, you're going to wind up getting in touch with something. You want to complain so much. Keep complaining because something is going to happen that you really ain't going to be having no control of no more. Then you're really going to start complaining. And that's where a lot of this is. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely agree with you, Jasmine, on that. I just think it starts from the inside. The root of it is yourself and what you go through and what your issues is. Definitely you have to learn to love you, because if you don't love yourself, who else are you going to love? I definitely agree with you. And it's sad. And it's sad to say, oh, bitch, I don't give a fuck. They did it to me. Do you think that's fair? Because an individual did it to you, that you should go do it to them. It's just so much.
Jason, TJ, your opinion on the people?
I mean, one of my thing about that, going back to what he said about that test, is you got dudes that won't even take 5 seconds to reach for a condom. So it's no way they're gonna go to a store and buy a home test and test themselves when they won't even reach for reach across to the nightstand for a condom. And one of the things that me and you talked about last night when it was just you and I, Jasmine, is that we have so many of our own brothers and sisters that don't like themselves that they can't even look in the mirror for 30 seconds. If you can't even look at your own reflection in a mirror for 30 seconds, that says a lot about your character. So that you're going to surround yourself with people that are like you, so that you can take the focus off of you, because you don't want to deal with you. And it starts with, like, when people say things, it's like, oh, you're ugly, or you're this, or you that. I laugh at that, because I know I'm comfortable in my skin. And if you were comfortable in your skin, you wouldn't be worrying about what I look like, because what you eat not going to make me shit. What you drink not going to make me pee. So your opinion is not needed, nor was it required, nor do I want it. But I will respect you because you're a human being, and I have to.
A hero ain't nothing but a sandwich.
But if we don't, when we stop beating each other up over little things, if we stop beating ourselves up, one, we won't beat nobody else up.
That's the powerful statement.
I tell you, I got my church band just waving in my pocketbook and still shaking, I tell you.
Speaking of the church. Meet you still on here?
Where's Michi?
Michi's there.
Okay. How do y'all feel about alternative churches? What'd you say?
People feel about alternative churches.
Yeah, alternative churches. Because the reason why I brought this up, maybe I should have kind of brought it up when we first started, not first started the show, but kind of early in the show. But the reason why I brought it up is because I find more and more of my associates and some of my friends going to, and I've been to an alternative church before, and I find, you know, when I was closed-minded, let me say this first, when I was closed-minded and believed that, you know, alternative churches were wrong, you know, it was bad, you know, and all this and the other and everything, When I found myself coming up out of that box and actually going to experience and actually not forgetting who God was to me in my life and what He meant to me in my life, I began to understand why. And I see, you know, that the reason why people have these places that they go to, because when you go into these quote-unquote, let me say that, quote-unquote straight churches or what have you, everybody's supposed to be there on one mission, and everybody's supposed to be going in for one reason. But it's sad to say that the most gossiping, judgmental places that you could ever be in or that you could ever go to is church. Those are the most places where if you want somebody to break you down and look at you and feel and make you feel some type of way. And let me tell you something, not to jump all over the place. You never know what somebody could be struggling with. You never know what somebody could be going through. And when it comes to those doors, that might be their last resort to come in there to try to find God, to try to find some type of peace, to try to find some type of sanity. And then when you have these other people around you looking down on you, turning their nose, keying and whispering and moving their children away from you and stuff like that, and, you know, then you got the pastor all of a sudden, he was supposed to be preaching about something else, but then he want to preach on how you're supposed to live right, when in fact he probably ain't even living right his dog on self, but he want to give it because he see a certain type of audience that came up in the building. So now, he want to say certain things or whatever like that. You know, I hate that, especially when it comes to funerals. And you are in a church, and someone of the community has passed away, okay, and the whole church is filled with nothing but, what I was brought up to say, the children. Okay, the whole church is filled with the children.
Mm-hmm.
You got this pastor because he knew that this person was gay, and his whole entire church is filled up with gay people because this is a funeral, and now all of a sudden he want to talk about living right, doing what you're supposed to do, come and be delivered and stuff like that, you know, doing a little sneaky shit. That stuff like that, I don't use. Stuff like that, I don't like that. And see, my whole thing is this. Whatever, like I said, whatever God that anybody believes in, but right now I happen to be talking about, you know, Christian churches, apostolic, Pentecostal, whatever.
Yes,
I'm talking about these churches. These be the people who, they don't mind you playing the keyboard or playing the piano or the organ or something like that.
Right,
or playing the drums or something like that for them. Okay, yeah, you're fine. But, you know, as long as you stay in that zone, do anything else, like if you want to stand up, you want to give a testimony, you want to do anything else, laying hands or anything like that, honey, then you become a threat. Then you become, you know, people start talking about you, they start making you feel some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you know, I'm going to give you a prime example of my church. My church I went to in Baltimore was Christian Life Church on the B Road. I started going to that church around 93, 94, all the way up till about now. Here and there, when I come to Baltimore to visit my mom, sometimes I may go. Sometimes. But going to that church over here, at that time, I was a butch queen. Okay? I was young. I was a butch queen. I was on a choir. You know, I sang on the choir, whatever. And then I also have a gift to play the piano or play the keyboard over here. I can hear any song, even to this day, and I can play it. And
incoming transmission.
Oh.
Mm?
Oh, my.
And, you know, I'm going to make my story kind of quick because I know Jasmine got a call. In me going to, you know, to that church or what have you, and I was singing on the choir and everything, one part of me felt like I belonged, but then another part didn't. And the other part that didn't is because I used to clash with this female in there who was a director. And me and her just clashed because she just felt as though that, you know, I shouldn't wear two earrings. It was just a whole lot. This bitch just really, really made me feel some type of way. And it got to the point where I had dropped from the choir. I had wound up having a fight with her brother because I told her I'd beat her from one side of the church's walls back down the other. And so she went and got her brother. So me and the child, it was a big mess. But anyway, sum the story up. I left from that church for a while, and then I came back, and when I came back as a woman.
Ooh.
And when I came back as a woman, people were still calling me, by my boy name. Now, granted, my boy name is versatile. It could go for a man, it could go for a woman. But I asked these people, listen, do I look like that person anymore? Okay, I live my life as this, so this is how I want you to call me. And it's this usher there that y'all gonna key at this when I tell you. Every time they have an Easter musical, this man plays the role of Christ. But he's the main one walking around there judging people, and he's the main one wanna talk about, hey, what's up, man? How you doing, yo? How you doing, brother, so-and-so? And I had to really read him year before last. And I said, let me tell you something, okay? One thing for certain, two things for sure. We may be in the house of God, but you will gag in the name of Christ in here if you call me one more man, if you call me by my name one more time in here. You think it's choice to call me that because you knew me as a male coming here to this church, and now I live my life as a woman. I don't give a shit what you feel about me, what you may think I am, or if you think the way I'm living is wrong or right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to check your closet. And you need to live your own life. Because I said, you need not to play Jesus Christ anymore because you don't know the definition of him. And
all right.
So, to make a long story short, I now see why people have these alternative churches, because an alternative church we can go to
and we can be comfortable,
we can be ourselves, we can hear the word, we can sing, we can laugh, we can fellowship, we can praise God, and we know that God says, come as you are. I don't give a shit what you look like, what's on the outside, how you change yourself, anything. It's about what it's about in your heart, it's about what you believe in me and where your heart lies at with me. Everything else, honey, is secondary.
Preach,
ain't nothing but a shell, honey. And we, and when we leave a ball for you, honey, we're going to shed this shell, this skin that we have, and meet in there.
Preach, evangelist.
Incoming transmission.
Enrique, you're back on the air.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Well, Mac, let me say, too, I think the church thing is a great idea, personally, because, you know, it's kind of like way back in the day when everybody had this one certain belief and you had to go to this one church where everybody around you thought alike or experienced the same thing. So I'm really a big fan of that. And I also think it's funny that as many, because I used to go to New Sambas. I think, are you familiar? Is anybody on the phone familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I went to New Sambas. If anybody knows who the minister of music was, she looked like Lena Horne. It was a dude, but he kind of reminded me of Lena Horne. He had the frosted hair and all that stuff, and it would always come in with foreign furs. And I always thought that was so funny because the preacher would go on this hell's brimstone thing, and I'm over there looking at the minister of music like, are you serious?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
She's over there, and I do mean she, with exclamation points, over there directing your choir, and you're going off. So after that, I went up to him. I was like, how do you feel about this? Because his name was Jeff. Jeff, how do you feel about when he goes off like that? He goes, yeah, I'm just getting a paycheck. I said, oh, look, that's great. But, you know, I went to the alternative church, and I really enjoyed it because, you know, everybody's there to praise God. Everybody's having fun, and the socials are really social. You know what I'm saying? You have the same drama in those churches that you do at, let's say, what people say real, quote-unquote, churches do. But it's still that you have your own people there. It's no ties. You don't have, like you say, the people who feel threatened by you, be it a man or a woman, coming at you sideways. If they're coming at you sideways, you know it's on some other bullshit, not because you're gay or anything else. So I kind of think that's kind of cool. And I actually enjoyed it. Not that I'm really big into church, because we had this conversation before, but every now and then I do like to go, because my mother is a preacher. And, you know, let's go back to the funeral story. We went to this, I don't know, Mark area. I don't know if anybody's familiar with area lore. She was like,
yeah,
my
brother.
Yes,
remember
every
day I was there.
Yeah. It was just a point that, it was a point that when she passed away, were you at her funeral?
I was at the church right there off of, it was right there in the city.
Right.
I was there because it was, the Fem Queens was there, everybody, we all
were
there.
And my mother was there, because my mother was upset because I didn't tell her. She comes in crying and stuff like that. And, you know, preacher, after the sermon came out and was telling people how they should live their life. And my mother, a preacher, came and stepped to him and says, please don't tell my son or any of my children in here, because that's what they are, how they should live their life, especially when there's one of their good friends in their casket, because that's rude.
Yeah.
One preacher to another, you're not supposed to do that. And then he just looked at it like, Quinn, and he was like, are you gay? She goes, no, I'm married. I have four kids. That's one. But you're not going to disrespect any of them. And I was like, how are you going to be a preacher and, like, pray over somebody or give them a sermon and then read them in the same thing? I just never understood that. Never understood it. But that's it, guys.
You know,
thank you. And I guess I'll be here till 4 o'clock.
Ooh.
But you know what though? You know one thing though. You know one thing that I don't like, and I'm glad Enrique said something. He just said something because it just brought a memory to me. One thing that I don't like is that, you know, everybody, you know, when it comes prayer time, you know, the pastor says, you know, well, I'm going to lay hands on you, or he'll say, well, grab your neighbor's hand, or, you know, pray for them and things like that. Let me tell you something about putting hands on people and praying on people or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I do, now, I don't mind somebody praying for me, and I don't mind praying for somebody, but I'm going to tell you something. If I know beyond a shadow of a doubt,
right,
and sometimes, and a lot of times you can spook it, that you really don't see me, and you call yourself coming over, but like, come in, sister, so and so. Let me pray for you. I'm quick to give every. I'm good. You don't have to, because I'm gonna tell you something. You can come over there, and honey, you can speak in tongues, put your hands on me. But there's a difference in speaking something and believing what you're speaking, and not believing what you're speaking.
Just had a little bit Kojic tonight, Ms. Naima. What's going on here? I could call you later.
Okay, yeah, Naima, we're going to change the topic a little bit, Naima, because it's getting a little too deep on your end.
It is.
It's getting a little too deep on you. I don't want you to burn no churches or nothing down.
Oh, my Desmond, sheesh.
But before you do that, Jasmine, Naima, what I tell them is this. You can't pray for me. You can pray with me. We can pray together, but you're not going to pray for me.
Mm.
That's what I tell them.
I have a question.
TJ,
can I change the topic?
I think, TJ, did you want to say something? Because I haven't been following up with everybody. TJ, did you have anything you want to touch upon really quickly?
I'm just letting the spirit move them.
Naima, you already spoke. Ivana, do you have anything you want to touch upon?
We can't hear you, Ivana.
Is she in the tub?
No, I'm not. Don't do that. Now, see, what I will do is I will go ahead and push one on my iPhone so y'all can stop going off on my girlfriend. Okay, Jasmine.
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you just go ahead and connect my other phone, the 814 number?
Where is it?
I just pushed one.
Mm.
Oh,
you are now in the host queue.
Ooh.
Incoming transmission.
Oh, girl, you was on both phones? Okay, hold on.
Right,
somebody
could have been getting through on the line while she holding the spaces.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
Okay, Ronda, you're there.
Same.
Anna.
My organ playing.
Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want.
Where is she?
Can we get a praise break real quickly?
Okay.
We come to fall by faith.
Honey, let him stop you up.
We come to fall by faith.
I have a question.
Kiana, can you lead us a song?
No, can I leave you the song right now? I dropped my hat. Shaking my purse.
Y'all said
at
I was
this
getting
time,
this credit. I was just trying to make
take
a
up
point.
An
that's
offering,
all.
And I don't
no,
want
incoming
to
transmission.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Fine.
Naima is a cute girl. Let's play my. Go ahead and bring my sheet music over for she could play the piano, honey.
Okay, Marcus.
Holy, holy, holy.
Marcus,
you know, this has nothing to really do with this weekend, but it's just kind of like my experiences as an Escada, and then, you know, kind of hearing the Garçons working on their house ball. How do you guys think the investment of a house ball should go, and how should
hold on,
the...
Hold on, Marcus. Vonna, you're there now. I'm sorry.
You know what? That's what you get for getting facials. I pushed the button or the mute button with my face on the
phone.
Oh, sheesh. My shame. I am so sorry, y'all. I've been sitting here going off, too, on this mute button. I'm sorry, Marcus. I wouldn't interrupt, but I've been dealing with this situation on this Facebook with my child and his mother. I really want to get your opinion on this because I told him to listen. He listens to his computer in the living room. Okay. He is a really good, they're lovers. They take care of each other. They're happy with each other. They're not happy, but they're trying to develop something, and they've been together about 2 years. And his mother and his family is so, I guess, against what they have, that she is coming up against them. But, you know, she worries about him. And then my child is a butch queen, but I call everybody she. But she worries about him. She is, you know, concerned when he goes out of town. She wants to know what's up with him. And the mother and the family is just like, you know what, you know, why your lover is crazy, why is he always checking up on you, why is he always doing this. And I'm trying to figure out what should I say to him to deal with this situation.
Are we taking turns? Are we going to go in order?
I don't care what y'all do. I just, because I'm really wearing, because see, my attitude is kind of rough and kind of brash, but I'm trying to get a different viewpoint so I won't just come so rough and so hard.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, Vonna. Is this the same conversation of the same person from last night?
No, different kids, different child. All my kids got issues.
I see. Like mother, like child.
Ooh.
I'm a Christian woman. I don't get into that. I'm a married lady, too.
I rebuke you in the name
you
of
God. You girls have so many children. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah,
ain't it? Vonna has 35 kids. Anybody who need a mama, Vonna's accepting application. She got an open house Friday.
No, I'm not. But I'm also a very good mother. I'm also a very good mother to all of mine. Don't do that. But I'm just real, I'm being very, very serious about it because he's really going through it. Like the mother and the sister and the other people in his family are just really negative towards their relationship.
Okay, I'll go first because I have a girlfriend that's going through a divorce with her soon-to-be ex-husband, and his mother and his family was doing the same thing. And what I told her to do was that what they needed to do was focus on their relationship. When they got married or they started together, they became a couple. And what went on in their household and in their home was supposed to stay in their home. What goes on outside of their home goes on outside of their home. Now, what he should have did or what she should have done to her parents, to his parents, to say, you know what, Mama, I love you and I respect you, but that is my mate. And I'm not going to allow my mate to disrespect you. I'm not going to allow you to disrespect my mate. You're entitled to your opinions because I understand that you care about me. But that is my situation. I've gotten myself into that, and me and that person have to work that out. The only thing I need you to do is be, if I come to you and I want to talk to you, I just need you to be ears that listen, a mouth that does not open.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I feel a little different about that. My mother's never led me wrong about relationships. Any lover she's ever met, that vibe that she got initially is usually what happened. If they was a snake, and she told me it was a snake, it might have took 6 years for me to find out they were a snake, but the truth was they was a snake. Sometimes our parents can see, especially our mother, sometimes our parents can see things that we can't see, and, you know. I don't know. If my mother told me no, it's probably going to be a no.
Okay. Kiana? Where's she
gone? She's in the nurse's office.
Naima?
She didn't pass out.
Yes.
Did you hear the question? I want your opinion, too.
You said something about the boy because you muffled, and then I heard everybody.
I'm sorry. My phone will be doing shit. No, the relationship is just, I guess to kind of like sum it up to why I wanted to explain it a lot, it's just that the family seems to be totally against their relationship or, you know, they are so, it's not really against it, but they're so like, you know, your lover's crazy, you know, it's some stuff going on, you know, why they're doing this. You know, and they seem to have so much input on a person who I know my child as a person. He is so for trying to better his lover. He is so for, not even as a lover, but as a friend. You know, he wants to make sure he's working. He wants to make sure he's okay. He wants to make sure he's good. And the family seems to come through that sometimes. And I'm trying to figure out how to guide him through because it's making him a little frustrated.
Well, I mean, are the family saying that that they think that the child is using him?
No, they just say that she's just overly, I guess, overly attached, crazy, you know, too concerned, which I don't understand how you can be those things if you're in a lover relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Well, is the child giving him the same feedback as your son is giving him?
Yeah, I would say so. I've in the interactions I've had with them, it's a tug of war with his lover. You know, it's a tug of war between my lover and my family.
Mm-hmm. But is the lover actually giving him the same amount of attention that your son is giving him?
Yeah, because he's over here now because he's pissed off. But, you know, they stay together, so they get the same kind of tension, and they have the same kind
well,
of...
Well, I mean, well, you know what? Let me tell you something, honey. That child, your son, and you, I will tell your son, you have to live your life, okay? You can't live your life for anybody else.
I'm on the way downstairs.
God gave you your life to live for you. So, therefore, you live in. You pay everybody else. Until I try to physically whooping your ass in that house or something like that or doing something to hurt you, I will pay everybody else and focus on me and my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine, what you think? You've been quiet most of the night, Jasmine. What you think?
Yeah, I'm always quiet. I let you guys, that's why I give you guys the platform to talk about. But I mean, if you guys want my opinion, I'm always here too. My opinion based on that is, you know, it could be a double-edged sword with it, kind of like what Marcus said a little bit. You know, the parents are very overprotective of their children, you know, so they always want what's best for their children, and they, you know, always want their children to be happy. And if, you know, this is a part of life. It's not even a part of our community. It's a part of life. You know, parents are just, you know, no one's too good for, you know, no one is too good for my baby, you know. You know, it's just never going to happen. You know, no one can ever fill in those slots to take care of my child or to, you know, to make my child happy or, you know, things of that sort. So you're going to find parents that are very overprotective of their children because they pretty much want the best for their children. So that may be playing a role with it. But when it comes to people that are in a relationship, and, you know, the family is only going to see what that couple allows them to see. That is the most important thing. That's something that everyone needs to remember. If they're not living with the family, or maybe they live upstairs, downstairs, or they live across the street, or they're always over there every day, you know, family can pick up on vibes, you know, like something may be going wrong, there might be tension, because you're always in their face and you see it. But if you don't really see them that much, you don't really know what's going on in their foundation. You only hear the stories or you see the expressions on the phone calls or the video chats or anything like that. So, you know, parents are going to kind of pick up, or families are going to kind of pick up based on what they feel or they see, but they're not there all the time. And because they're not there all the time, they're only going to get one side of the story, depending on who they're communicating the most with. And, of course, they're probably communicating the most with your child, you know, or whatever, or your child's lover or whatever. So I think what they need to do is kind of play, especially if they've been together, you said, for what, 2-3 years or something?
Yeah.
Then there should be a bond between the mother and the family with both parties and not just one party, because they've been together for that long that they need to play neutral in that relationship. Like, you know, don't just go based on one thing. Go based on what both parties are saying, because in all honesty, no one is innocent. You know, if something is going wrong, or there's some type of tension, or there's some type of factor there, you need to be able to pinpoint it, and you just can't be on the outside looking in and automatically pass judgment and say, I don't think that person's good for you. Well, how do you know that person's not good for me? Are you with us 24 hours a day? Do you see what we go through? You know, when you live with someone, and I've had relationships where I've lived together with that individual for years. No one knows what we go through. No one knows. If you're in a relationship and you live with someone for a long period of time where you eat, sleep, drink, shit, shower, everything, you know, you never know what that person is going through. So you can't really pass judgment on them. Like Naima said also, I agree with what Marcus is saying, but also with what Naima is saying as well. That person has to live for themselves. That person has to live for their self and what is making them happy. They have to find their happiness within themselves, and they share it with their family, because I truly believe, because I don't have family. I lost all my family. So I truly believe that people
because I miss my family. People should always have a bond with their family. People should always have that communication with their family. I support that 100%. I push that. Call your mother. Call your father. Send them a holiday gift. Call them up. You know, I truly, truly support you being with your family because I know how it is when you lose them and you don't have them no more and how it's going to affect your life. But when you have a family that is always in your business and trying to down that and other individual, that is something I don't agree with. Because on one hand, you can have that party that can be having an argument or you guys are going through something and the first person they run to is their mama, their daddy, their brother, their sister, and they want to have a bad moment because they're going through, we all go through stuff in our relationships, and they want to go back and, you know, say something negative, you know, like, child, she's getting on my nerves, she's getting on my nerves, I can't take her no more, da-da-da-da-da. And they go back and say something only because out of reaction, only because they're going through something at that moment, and then the family automatically is going to either sit down, what they should do is sit down with them and say, well, what's wrong and what's happening, and try to work it out with them. But no, if they're going to only jump on their bandwagon and say, oh, well, da-da-da-da-da, well, if you're not happy, then da-da-da-da-da. No, I don't agree with that. Because at the end of the evening, they may be saying they're upset and they're mad for whatever reason, but then at the, you know, when they're together again, it's a whole different story. So that's where it comes to it's a big triangle. It's a whole bunch of mess, in all honesty. It could just go both ways. To me, it's just a whole bunch of mess. But to me, in all honesty, relationships and everything, I truly believe that people should find relationships and find love and find that person to bond with, because that world out there and that lifestyle out there where people are just destroying each other and they don't care about each other and they don't care about themselves, I think that's what's really killing our people. So if you find someone that you can love and be bonded with, find them and stick with them and try not to let no one control that or separate that. Because when those people are alone and the temptation comes and all that negative, all that stuff starts happening, then that's when you're really in danger. But when you have two people work together better than one, two heads work together better than one, and I truly believe find someone that you can love, find someone that you can share your life with, find someone that you can be happy with. Because at the end, the people that are alone, when you're alone, you're bored. When you're bored, your mind drifts, and that's when you get yourself into a lot of trouble. And that's what I truly, truly believe in. But you can't really say that to a lot of people. You can't say that to young people. And I also believe that when you're young, you should be able to experience life as well. But, you know, you just have to find control. Because what's wrong with the young generation right now, and Vonna, I don't know how old your kids are or anything like that, but when it comes time, when it's the young generation, don't see fault in it. You know, again, they'll get on Craigslist, they'll get on BBC, they'll get on Adam for Adam, and they'll go suck a dick or go get fucked or fuck or whatever with some complete stranger, and that's all they need in life. You know, I hear it all the time. I see it all the time. I get the phone calls like, guess who's visiting? And guess what they've been doing ever since they've been visiting? They have a lineup in the fucking living room, and they're sucking dick in the bathroom, and they got people knocking on the door back to back to back. You know, I mean, kind of life is that? You know, what kind of life is that? And then we wonder why so many people are sick, so many people have these STDs, so many people look the way that they look, because this is what you have. But when you have someone that you love, or you have someone that loves you, and someone that cares about you, and someone that can bond with you, and that you can enjoy life with, I think that's kind of better than all that shit that they're doing. You know, so, I mean, I don't really like to say too much about it, because, you know, I don't want to say nothing really, but it's a touchy subject to me.
Take me to the water.
All I truly believe in as a boss
you know, being in business now for over 10 years as a boss, as an employer, I make sure that I hear both sides
of the story
of
first,
the
definitely.
Situation. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm just like that. You know, I'm just not going to take, you know, maybe the supervisor coming in and saying, you know, Jane is over there doing this and that. We need to fire her. Okay, Jane, let's fire her. No, we're not going to do it that way. We need to find out what this person is doing. I mean, you know, let's fire Jane. No, we need to find out what Jane is doing. We need, you know, I need to speak with her as well. I need to see what her issues are. Maybe she don't need to get fired. Maybe she needs to get written up. Maybe she needs to get suspended. Maybe she needs this now. You know, don't just go based on one side of the story because you never know. Maybe Miss Thing and Jane are going through something. And, you know, you just got to kind of listen and see what's happening, you know. But again, you know, that's just how it is with people.
He was listening, so I was sitting here texting him. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pray about it, honey. Pray if you're listening. Pray about it, and I'm sure it'll work out.
Yeah, definitely.
Pray about it, and I'm sure it'll work out.
Mm.
Who's all on the line? Because I'm sitting outside, and that child. This is a first. We're on really
she
late.
She had to go
I'm
outside
really,
and smoke a cigarette.
What happened to Michi? Did Michi go to sleep or something?
He's getting ready for his selection.
Is Kiana still on the line? No.
Because I wanted to know what was Michi's thoughts, but I know y'all had shut me up, you know, because...
that incoming transmission.
Oh, damn.
Naima, crazy. Y'all shut me up. Naima, what do you want to know your thoughts on what? About the church and the stuff?
No, I wanted to know what Michi thought because he was going to, you know, before when I was trying to bring it up before, but I didn't, and he wanted to, you know, voice his opinion, but I don't know where he disappeared there.
But you know what, Naima, just to piggyback off what you were saying, though, I think alternative church is good. I think having a choice is good. Some people will be comfortable in an alternative church, and some people who are, my mother taught me something a long time ago. She's a pastor as well. My mother said it's a difference between being spiritual and religion. She
mm-hmm.
said, you know, you can be religious, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. And she was, even as I say it, I hear her say it all the time. And so I know what you mean by that. So, you know, some people who are religious or who only go to church to because it makes them feel good, then, yeah, the old-time church might be good for them. Or having a choice so where you can be comfortable somewhere, whether it is the same way we have different kind of religious churches, whether, you know, it's a Methodist or, you know, apostolic or, you know, Church of God in Christ, somewhere that you sit in, somewhere that you feel comfortable, and somewhere where you can pray. So I always think that's a good idea for choice. That's what God gave you was free will and free choice to do what you feel was best for yourself. All right.
But I think some people look at church as a chore because they sit in church for 2-3 hours, and then as soon as they come out of the church, and I have family members that are like this, and I've gone to church with them, and as soon as church like gets out and we're on the we haven't even left the property of the church, and they already got their mouth on somebody.
Mm-hmm. Or they ready to read and everything.
Right.
Let me tell you something about church. I have witnessed so many different things that has happened within the church that it has really, really pushed me away from the church. And people say, oh, you shouldn't be that way. You're going to church for God. You're not going to church for them or whatever. But I have a belief that I'm not going to sit around a whole bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going to sit around a whole bunch of judgmental people, and I'm not going to sit around a whole bunch of fake and phony people.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose to not be centered around those types of people. One thing about me that I know that I truly believe in, and a lot of people that know me personally know this is how I am, this is why I am where I am right now within my life as well as within the ballroom scene. If I am a part of something and I find things within that I'm a part of, it could be within a house, it could be within a job, it could be even within a relationship. If it gets to the point where
so many things start happening that I no longer believe in, or so many things that continue to happen that I no longer agree with, I will pull myself out of the equation. And that's what happens with houses that maybe I have been a part of. There's just certain things that happen, and I'd be like, okay, I need to back out of this, because I'm not here to try to change you. I'm not here to try to fix the situation. I'm not here to play God. So I just give my suggestions and my opinions. If you guys don't go with it, I pull myself out. Same thing with work. The same thing with the relationship. I will pull myself out of it if it starts going in a direction that I don't believe in anymore. When it comes to the church as well, if I start seeing things that I don't like you said, they're there for 2 or 3 hours, and the next thing you know, the pastor is over here with this one, and this one is over here with that one, and, you know, you go to church, and as soon as you go home with your family's fighting and pulling knives out on each other and attacking each other and calling each other all names. That's not a part of me. But one thing I never considered, and I probably would consider, is an alternative church, because now I'm among people that probably have the same beliefs, the same feelings, the same things that have happened with me, they probably have gone through, the same ridicules and hypocrites that I've dealt with, they probably have dealt with. And if I can find a small community or a small group of people or a group of people that are in my circle, or, you know, in my that kind of live the life similar to that I do, then I would probably allow myself to be a part of that. Because, again, I do want to do this for God, and I do want to, you know, learn more, as much more as I can, because I don't think I know everything. And to be able to hear someone else talk, or to be able to hear someone else's life story, or to be able to hear someone else share their opinions or their stories on how life is, you know, how God has touched them, or, you know, what God has done for them, I think that's a blessing, because you learn more and you see that, wow, I wasn't the only one that was going through this. I wasn't the only one that experienced that. So I think it's a blessing to be among people that is going, you know, that have gone through that. But I just don't want to do that in an environment with a whole bunch of fake and phony people, you know. Mm-hmm. And not saying the people in the alternative church is probably not just a fake and phony, but I mean, right. You know, you just have to continue to go out there and find and find and find. But in the meantime, I always believe that you should always have your bond with God, you know, no matter where you are. You know, don't be afraid to talk to God no matter where you are. Don't be afraid to you know, shout out his name. Don't be afraid to tell him that you love him. Just as much as it feels good for you, for someone to tell you, I love you, or, oh, you did a good job, or, oh, thank you so much. It makes you feel good when someone says that to you, so why not say that to God? You know, and that's something that I've learned over the years as well. You know, I will wake up and say, God, thank you. Or when something simple happens around me, I was like, God, thank you so much. It's not always about praying and saying, I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want, why? You know, it's like, God, I don't even want to sit here and question why, where, when. I just want to say thank you for the little bit that I have. And I do that on my own. You know, I share that on my own with God and who those that are around me. So church or no church, nothing's going to take my, you know, my God away from me. But it would feel good to be among a group of people also that, you know, had a lot of stories to share. So.
I agree. Come on, Jasmine. You better testify, honey, up in here. About to get my tambourine out, honey. Where's PJ at?
What you want, Mufasa?
Oh.
Okay.
You keep playing with me here, and I'm going to come to Detroit and beat you like a drum.
Bitch,
you got to
play
me, Steven. I'll give you the address.
TJ.
Huh?
Okay, so I have a question. And I'm asking this mainly because, you know, well, I just have a question. Okay, in regards to you guys' house ball, you guys kind of each chapter gave money, right? Towards it, right?
I live for Marcus.
Hold on, what you say? Hold on, can you decide the question off again for
me, Marcus, please. I had to turn it on.
Okay. As you know, as time, you know, as every chapter donated money to make to ensure that they had their grand prize money, correct?
Oh, I'm about to put my phone down.
No, uh-oh. I mean, just because a lot of houses do it this way. At the end of the day, how does the house ball? Because, I mean, I've had falling out with people, too. You know, I've helped sponsors just got a ball 2 years in a row. The money came, some of the money came from my pocket. And then at the end of the night, people who didn't necessarily have an interest in it were wondering where was their cut when they didn't do anything. Like, how do you guys feel in regards to that? Let's just talk about it like that, you know. You know, my example, this kind of ball, 1 year was free, but we charged, we had a mini ball the next day. And so the money that I invested for the free ball, I kind of recouped the next day at the mini ball. But there were people who thought they should have gotten something off of it. How do you guys feel about house balls in general and
but
money?
You know, that's a valid question. It's the same way about me being in the House of Revlon. I've heard that question 17,000 times in like the last day or so. Well, who's all getting but the $10,000? Where's who all, you know, how's it divvied up? And it's not nobody's business, but it's been done in a way that
but
I think the whole
different.
House.
When you're talking about house with the most trophies, I think that every house handles
but you'd
that
be
different.
Surprised how many people ask that question about their $10,000, honey.
That's crazy. But no, but I mean, in regards to there being a house ball, the profit or the loss, because some every ball doesn't make money.
That's
or
true.
The loss, how is that handled? Or how should it be handled?
DJ?
How should it be? I think DJ's on a disclaimer. He can't speak.
okay. Can I get the director of my house to please chime in right now, please?
God, it's not in regard to your house. I mean, we're talking about...
We're talking about
a blanket statement.
Okay.
Your house.
As far
I mean,
as I
was giving your house an example, but it was the Escadas too. I mean,
truthfully, as I feel from day one with anything like that, if we're doing this as a house, a unity, a group as one, we all should put an equal share into it. At the end of it all, of course, going into a ball is a gamble. Anyone who's thrown a ball on this phone knows you can't say, I'm going to make X amount of dollars off this ball.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this, that. So you can't really say what everyone's going to get back. But at the end of the day, if there is a profit made and we all went into this at a fair share straight across the board, say if we all were right now to throw a ball, if we threw gagoline right now and we all put $1,000 in, and at the end of the night, if this ball made $15,000 profit, I truthfully feel it should easily be split back down. The people who put into it should receive some type of stipends back from it split down the middle.
I agree.
But now,
there should not be one person.
How often does it add up to where the expenses are split equally?
Almost never.
I mean, I've had a ball with five people, and, I mean, it's always still at least one person that's putting more into it than another.
Yeah,
whether
that
be promoting,
going into a ball, you're going to do that. Someone's going to put more into it because it's more of one person might say, well, I know for a fact this is how I want the trophies to be, and to make sure the trophies the way I want them to be, I'm going to put the extra effort and extra oomph into it. Another person might want to have more insight on decorations, and they might want it to be this way. So, therefore, they're going to put their own oomph into it. If you decide to go the extra mile and do something on your own, I mean, you can't say everybody else is held responsible because you decided to go do something on your own to put the extra oomph into it. If it's a general thing straight down the middle, every decision should be made accordingly together. Everything should be paid accordingly together. It should be a budget narrative. Decorations cost $500. This is what we need to split. If we're saying that everyone puts this amount of dollars in, after the money's collected, we pay it out. There should not be, oh, well, I paid an extra $20 for decorations. I paid an extra $100 for liquor. When you do that, that's going to cause a bunch of chaos and ruckus.
Well, in my opinion basically is this. We only have 8 minutes into the show, so we need to kind of wrap it up a little bit. But bottom line is I do agree with what TJ just said. I do believe that if a group of people are throwing, that's why I don't like dealing with a group of people, because it can get out of hand. But if a group of people are going to, you know, throw an event together, when you have too many hands in the pot, things are just bound to fail. But, you know, the only way you can try to limit the failure is if you set, you know, budgets and you set priorities, and we say that, you know, okay, $1,000 is going to be spent on decorations. That's what we are budgeting into this. So your responsibility is $1,000 in decorations. Now, if a person wants to put a little extra, then that comes, that's on their behalf. We're not going to pay for that extra. That's only because you wanted to, you know, you felt that you wanted to do that. You know,
exactly.
you felt that you wanted to give that extra, because you will find certain people that don't really care about the money. They care about, you know, they care about putting more into it, so they're not really doing it for the money. They'll say, okay, I'm budgeted $1,000, but I have some extra money, or I have some extra whatever. I'm just going to put this into it, and I'm not going to look for it in return. You know, just like
right.
we talk about contracts and so forth and so on, I think if you set up a nice little, you know, budget, and everybody has their responsibilities, you know, that's what Jack, Andre, and myself used to do when we did the awards ball, you know, for the couple of years that we did it. You know, certain people are, you know, certain people are designated certain responsibilities. But if you want to put in that little extra, then that's on you. That shouldn't be a part of what we are doing. And if we have extra at the end of the evening and, you know, we did really, really well, then maybe, you know, we can show off a little extra here and there. But bottom line is you got to stick to your contract, stick to your book, stick to your budget, and I think it'll work out better that way. I truly believe that throwing an event, because I've done the collection ball by myself without anyone, and I've dealt with hundreds of people. I've dealt with, you know, over 1,000 people. You know, it's not a hard thing to do by yourself. It's stressful, but it's not a hard thing to do by yourself if you have the business mentality on it. You know, you just have to designate, you know, your budgets in certain areas, and you control it that way. But when you have so many people involved and so many people are putting so much in, and then you have, at the end of the evening, you have so many hands all over the place, that's where it gets so out of control. And I just, that's something I don't agree with. And I also believe, in all honesty, if it's a house that's throwing it, you know, even though it's kind of hard to say and a lot of people don't stick to it, if a house knows that they're having an event and they pre-planned it for a year in advance or so, or they know that every year, every 2 years they're going to do this, start planning in advance. Again, start collecting dues. Have an accountant that's taking care of your budget and your money. So this way you know every month X amount of dollars the chapter has already, and they know that part, maybe 25% of that is going to go towards the house for in 12 months. This way there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. They know that they're going to have their $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 because they paid house dues. And at the end of the evening after the ball, those are house dues. You don't really get that back. Maybe do something nice for that chapter, or do something nice, you know, as a whole, or have a nice party or something like that. That's the only thing I can, like, really think of or suggest. But if you do it in advance, then you're good. But if you're going to hit everybody a month or two before the event and say, we need this by this time or whatever, and I think that's when things can get out of control. But on that note, I don't know when the show's going to kick off any moment now. It says we have 3 minutes left. I want to say, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Again, don't forget Monday is going to be a big thing on Monday. I swear the special guests, as well as the people that they have got lined up, some scandals about these motherfucking shoes and designers to a lot of things that are going to be happening this Monday, so don't forget to tune in this Monday for the weekend recap on 10 to Chop. Everyone, say good night,
And again, thank you for tuning in for the State of Emergency show. We will be back next week. But everybody, I want to say thank you for tuning in. Marcus, thank you for staying with us the whole night. Switchboard is completely frozen. They are doing their updates, so I'm sorry if I couldn't get to nobody's number. But everybody say goodnight individually. Jason.
Good night, everyone. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jason. Naima.
Good night, everyone. I enjoyed this this conversation. I'm glad I was up this long with you, Jazz. I really enjoyed it. Can't wait for next week.
Thank you. Marcus? Marcus is gone. TJ?
Good night, everybody. Remember, whatever alleyway, back corner, shoebox, or club you go to, wrap it up. Because the life you save can be your own. Jason, go talk on a dick.
I'll meet you on YouTube. Skype.
Naima, can you service old boy?
Vana?
I just want to say I immensely enjoyed this conversation. I really enjoyed getting to know some of you guys, and I cannot wait to see what the season beholds for us. And have a really good night, everybody.
Who else is on? Kiana? Who else am I forgetting?
Wade in the water.
Did everybody say goodnight?
Yeah,
everybody,
I think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the water.
The phone is going to care.